listening to Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Shit!
You really pissed me off tonight.
Garth, you've never been mad at anything in your life.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have walked out on the show. I mean, you know, I handled it okay. But you shouldn't walk out on your friend without telling him first.
Oh, so I have to run everything by you now?
Yeah, I think you have to run everything by me now. What am I, some sort of chimp with you as always as Garth? Jim to your Marlon Perkins? You know, Benjamin had you so snowed. And you know what? He's got it for Cassandra.
No way.
Way.
Yeah. Cassandra's not interested. As if.
Okay, pop quiz. Cassandra is not interested in Benjamin because A, chicks think he's handsome, B, has cool car, C, has lots of cash, D, has no visible scars, E, does not live with parents.
Okay, how about F, you're a gimp. You know what you can do with your pop quiz?
You know what you can do with your show? You can take a flight.
Kiss your mother with that mouth? You've gone mental. I'm getting out of here, Damien.
Fine, then go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
I am.
Go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
I am.
Don't be weepy, sleepy puppies. Slip your slippers on your footies. In the morning, you'll get goodies. Puppy hats and puppy hoodies. No stripes or polka dots. Heather gray and feather soft. Baby pink or baby blue. All the drawstrings you can choose.
Hey. Oh my God, I've never been so glad to see anyone in my entire life. This day has been the biggest nightmare. I mean, these job interviews, Troy, the word vivisection, a staggering understatement. I mean, can you define irony?
It's when the actual meaning is the complete opposite from the literal meaning.
Oh my God. Where were you when I needed you today?
I should go.
Oh, come on. Isn't there some statute of limitations for embarrassing incidents?
Your bravado was embarrassing.
Define irony. A bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash.
Oh, that was a real horn honker. Let's see it. Now, do it. Do it.
Hot dogs, armor hot dogs.
Sing it like you mean it.
What kinds of kids eat armor hot dogs?
Fat kids.
Skinny kids.
Kids who climb on rocks.
Tough kids.
Busy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox
love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Kids love to
Doesn't his family know any songs that aren't commercials?
I feel like chicken tonight, like chicken tonight, like chicken tonight.
Coming up this hour on the Impulse Buying Network, your chance to own a piece of Itchy and Scratchy, the Toontown twosome beloved by everyone, even cynical members of Generation X.
Yeah. Groovy.
Yeah! Woohoo! Yes! Yes! It is Friday! Woohoo! Time for Entertainment Landfill! Hey, everyone! I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. It's time for film, television, video game, and pop culture talk. That's right. We talk video games, too, from time to time when we're excited about it. And I'm here to do that today with some friends. Your co-hosts, if you will. Or, wait, they're my co-hosts. The first one is Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Woo-hoo! Hey, Steven, how's it going?
Good.
That was the beginning of the show is my introspective period of the show, like for a millisecond, and that was it. We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hi.
Hi, Bill. How's it going?
Oh, I'm tired.
Me too. You know what's funny? The three of us, we went to the midnight showing of Man of Steel, and I felt it this morning, dude.
Yeah.
This morning, you mean I felt it this afternoon when I woke up.
Dude, when this morning the lawnmower guy came and I have to write a check for him, and Heather's like, the lawn guy's here. He's here already. And I was like, and I went and I wrote the check out, and I didn't do it the right amount, by the way, and I did the wrong month.
You did the wrong month and wrong amount?
Yeah, and then I heard, bing, boo, and I was like, and Heather had already gone to work, and I, hello, and he goes, yeah, Mr. Jason, how much you make your check out for, too? And I was like, I won't get into numbers here.
He sounds like a minion.
But it was off significantly, Bill. I was totally out of it. And stuff like that. But, hey, I'm glad I saw the movie because I was wide awake when I watched it. I wasn't falling asleep or anything like that. And we're going to talk about that later on in the show, Bill.
But I know whenever I got out at 3... What time was it when the movie let out?
2:38 when we left.
Yeah, I think I had stuck around in the theater with a group of guys that were all wearing Superman t-shirts.
Yeah, we had some Superman t-shirt guys. And
yeah, and we talked for a good 30 minutes, and then I was okay, I have to go.
When I got home, you know, I had to get baby out of my side of the bed. But once I laid down, I was out. I was, like, exhausted, but... Yeah, it was a good time, and you know, I can't remember the last time I went to a midnight show. I really can't. And
you know what? Honestly, from now on, I'm just gonna wait for the next day. Because I mean, as much as I enjoyed going to it and like the experience of the crowd and the reactions and all, it just was like, I'm dead.
What was cool about the XD theater, Bill, is they let you go right in. We got there an hour and 30 minutes early.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, there might be a line, so let's get there like 90 minutes early. And they already let you go in the theater and sit down, and we got the seats we liked. And I was like,
that's how it is at mine. That's why whenever we went to see Oz Great and Powerful, I was like, what the hell is this line for? Why are we waiting around?
They do lines during the regular hours.
Oh, okay.
But that was pretty cool. So it was pretty harmless. In this day of the smartphone, you can just sit there on your phone, or you could, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. I was just goofing around on. I was messaging you back and forth.
Yeah, I was messaging you. It's like a virtual Bill was right there.
Yeah.
Tamagotchi.
All I know
Bill.
Is I went in early enough that all they were playing was the Cinema Sounds radio, and it's these clips of, like, if I had to hear, like, Rod Stewart's She Makes Me Happy one more time, I was going to punch someone. Like, it's just the worst music to play. And then they finally started the first look feature.
You know, there was one
I was actually looking forward to it.
There was one point where Steven got up to go get popcorn. And, you know, the theater's pretty empty at this point. And this dude comes all the way up, sits one chair away from me. And I'm just kind of looking and go, dude, why is this guy sitting so close to me when there's obviously a million seats available? And he goes, hey, you think the Superman movie's going to be any good? And I was like,
oh, he's lonely.
I was like, I think so. And he goes, there better be some punching and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I think there will be.
I think that's a safe bet, sir.
I think it'll be good. And I text Steven, creepy guy sitting next to me. And then Steven came back and was like, now it's my turn to go. And he talked to you.
Then the creepy guy talks to me.
But you know what? At the end,
save my seat. I gotta go get some. I'm gonna go to the restroom and get some food.
Yeah, he goes, will you watch my seat? It's like, dude, there's no one in here.
I was so angry. I don't know what was running through my head, but I got like the large Coke Zero, and I was sitting there and I'm sipping away at it the whole time. And then I had to get up and leave twice during it, and luckily I chose my times. Like the quiet moments, like the first moment I missed was just the part in the well, it doesn't matter. But I had to leave because I was just like, oh, and then I was hoping like no one would take my seat because I had my prime seat. Like, I always choose a seat where it's like I can, the screen fills my vision almost like I'm at an IMAX.
Uh huh.
But then I was thinking, man, I should have just took all the way in the back because these people won't shut up. Like, it's like, it's you taught me that if you take the all the way in the back, the last row, you don't have people talking behind you.
Yeah, the very last row is where I always sit, so no one can sit behind me, no one can kick my chair, no one could make noise behind me. And some people, like, if you're a purist of where to sit in the theater, it's got to be right in the center for the holosonic sound field. But in reality, the speakers are up above you, behind your head, and it still works fine. You're not missing anything in the surround spectrum. And that's the best place to sit, I think. Because
if I had one complaint about the theater I go to, it's just the sound wasn't powerful enough.
The theater,
like, the picture was fine. It's a Cinemark, but it's not an XD.
I've noticed we've seen the last. I think every movie I've seen in the year, except for The Hobbit, was a different Cinemark. But is everything has been in the same XD theater pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and they have they've cranked the sound up higher. Because it's been loud as hell.
It wasn't loud enough in the bass. Like, the moments like where he would break the sound barrier, I didn't get that punch that I was looking for.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little let down. I was like, well, this is going to be awesome when I watch it at home.
Some of the previews are even louder than the movie. Yeah.
Remember, we saw something. We looked over and the lady next to us had fingers in her ears. And we're like, ah.
That would be my dad. My dad is deaf in one ear, and he would still complain about it being too loud. When we went to see Star Trek Into Darkness, he was like, man, this is really loud. It's like he's the exact opposite of Grandpa Simpson.
That part in the World War Z trailer where it's the airplane, it's like, bam, 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 you know, alarm going off and everything's flying out. It's loud as hell in that part, you know.
I've seen that trailer too many times.
So have I.
The Pacific Rim one was... Loud.
The Pacific Rim run was finally 3D.
Dude, that was an awesome trailer. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
You know what?
If you didn't want to see it before and that didn't sell it for you, then
I was like this. Awesome.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. And then they did a Hobbit
trailer. I probably would have nudged you out of your seat again.
Oh, man, it was sweet. I can't wait to see Pacific Rim. Or I can't wait to see Atlantic Rim also, Bill.
Oh, my God. I'm all over Atlantic Rim. Hey, in fact, we're going to have to do a Nim movie mini for Atlantic Rim.
Atlantic Rim. Now, Bill, I want to talk to you about E3. Entertainment Electronics Expo was this week, where we went, you know, the ETL guys, we got to go, right, Bill?
No. Yes, we did, because everybody loves us.
That would have been awesome, wouldn't it, if we go out there and like, tell me about your game. Well, sure, it's cool. We have this new system in place. It's called QuickTime Events, where you hit the button at a certain time. Oh, that sounds like Dragon's Lair. Awesome.
No way.
Way.
But, I'm really excited about reading about new games. I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but one thing I used to do back when I first worked at the bankrupt frame shop, Steven, is I would walk...
Bankrupt frame shop.
It was before I had an automobile, and I'd walk across the street to Kroger, and they had a little deli area where you could sit. I'd grab the Electronic Gaming's magazine, buy 3 apple fritters for $1.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yep. I'd go sit down with the magazine that I hadn't bought, and I would just read Electronic Gaming's Monthly, like, all that week. You know, I'd read the reviews, and even for systems I didn't own or games. And I just love, like, just seeing stuff about new video games, and because it's exciting. Don't you agree?
Bill? Yes. No, I do. I used to love getting entertainment, or what is it? Electronic Gaming Monthly, and then there was Game Pro.
Yeah, Game Pro was like the cheap, lame magazine, I thought.
Was Game Pro the one with the faces, reviews? It was always just really lame.
I always liked Electronic Gaming Monthly because it had like 5 guys reviewing a single game and they give it numbers.
Yeah.
So you could get a good average, you know?
Yeah.
But what's cool about this year's E3, they've been doing it for I don't know how many years, but Spike shows the press conferences, right?
Yes, they do. Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. And they've actually learned not to cut the commercial in the middle of it, finally.
Yeah, and they showed the Microsoft one, where we got to see a lot of cool video games there.
The Microsoft one was fantastic. I was just like, at one point I got like teary-eyed because I'm such a Killer Instinct fanboy that when I saw that, like just the awesome. Clips of it, I was just like, oh my god, like I think it's literally what I sounded like.
What I thought that was at first, Killer Instinct, was that the game where you, as a fighting game, where you could be a raptor?
No, that's Primal Rage.
Oh, Primal Rage, okay.
You've gone mental.
Primal Rage sucks.
That's what I was thinking it was at first, but...
Oh, my God. I can just imagine them going, that's right, Primal Rage.
Everybody would be like, boo. No, really, we've got the mechanics of the raptors good now. Okay?
Now you can, like, kick and swing your tail in a fluid motion.
It's like Dead or Alive. You see them in skimpy outfits and stuff.
You too can be a blue gorilla delivering uppercuts.
Raptor in a bikini.
But they showed the new Metal Gear, which looked like Red Dead Redemption.
In fact, a lot of people on Twitter were calling it Red Dead Gear.
Red Dead Gear. But you know what? I'd play it.
So would I. It looks stunning.
Also, here's the thing. Dead Rising 3 is an what do they call it? Open world zombie game.
Yes.
And the Dead Rising games always look awesome. The zombies and all the stuff. Games are harder than shit to play.
They are harder than shit, and they always have that time limit. And it's like I tried playing the first one, gave up. I played the second one and gave up. But the only thing I finished that had to do with the second one was that game thing.
Yes, I played that too.
Yeah, but it's just I'm just not a big Dead Rising fan. They're too hard and they're just frustrating.
The concept of it is awesome. The execution is frustrating.
If I'm playing an open world game, I don't want to have a ticking clock.
Yeah, does Dead Rising 3 have a ticking clock?
I don't know. It's been part of the past two, so I don't see why this one wouldn't have it. If it was truly an open world game, like what the hell was that? Dead Island? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
You know that I would go along with that. I kind of like that game, even though that was a little mediocre.
The last great open world game I played, I believe, was Red Dead Redemption. It was awesome, and I'm super excited about Grand Theft Auto 5. But
yeah.
Here's the thing: when you watch these videos of these games, they want you to go, I've got to buy this system now. I need to buy an Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about on the last show how a lot of people are pissed about Xbox One. You know, it's not backwards compatible. You're not going to get that in this day and age, right?
No, you're just not. You just have to grow up, and you know that's what it is.
You have both
PS1, PS2, even PS3 was only backwards compatible for a period of time.
Certain models, right?
Yeah, I still have mine, the original.
And let me ask you this. Do you ever go back and play any of those PS2 games?
No. But you know what? A lot of times what they're doing now, any PS2 game worth its weight, they're now doing HD remixes.
Right, and you can buy them on the PSN marketplace, right?
Or no, they're releasing them, you know, physical copies of them also.
Oh, sweet.
Huh. Yeah, okay. Like they've redone the God of War games. They're redoing Kingdom Hearts.
I've never played those games, but I know people love them, and it's...
You know what? I bought them. When they came out, I bought them.
They look cool.
And I still have never played them.
Maybe
they are in my basement, in a box. And same with... And this is going to piss off gamers. Shadow of Colossus, bought it, never played it. Ico, bought it, never played it. I mean, all these like PS3 games that are considered the ultimate PS2 games.
I just never
got around to playing them.
Yeah, that happens. You know, they stack up. You know, my wife was saying, you know, I've never bought you video games or whatever, but how long ago was it when you wanted that Arkham game. You know, the sequel to the Arkham... What's the first
Arkham,
one?
Arkham City is the sequel.
Yeah,
Arkham
she bought me Arkham City. And she goes, have you even opened that? And I go, look, that's not how it works, okay? I keep the game for a year like a fine wine.
Yes, it ages. And then once it comes around and gets that nice bouquet,
yeah.
It has all the DLC is available. And
like Laura loaned me the new Tomb Raider, and I've had it for a while. She goes, hey, played Tomb Raider yet? And I know once she asks, she wants it back.
Exactly.
So I'm like, shit, I better start playing that. So I started playing it, and I got into it, and I finished it this week, and I thought it was... It's a satisfying thing, like a good book, you know, like, I finished it, I'm done, you know. And sometimes it takes a while for you to pick up another game, you just have to get inspired. But this new Naughty Dog game called the Story of Us, which I keep
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us. You know that bad Rob Reiner movie with Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer? It's called The Story of Us. That's what I keep thinking of. But anyway, this game...
I forgot all about that movie.
It's like The Road mixed with an apocalyptic zombie movie or something.
Oh, The Last of Us? Not the Bruce Willis Michelle Pfeiffer movie?
No, that's what The Story of Us was about. You didn't see that? It was awesome.
No, I should have saw that. It sounds awesome.
No, that's an awful movie about a couple getting a divorce. But this...
Jesus.
This game...
Do we really need more of those movies?
No. But no. This game looks so incredible. And... I'm excited to play it, and it looks brutally violent, Bill. Just brutal.
Yeah, I started watching the Adam Sessler review and then stopped because I've been avoiding everything about it. I have watched nothing. I have read nothing. I just know the basis of it. Whereas movies get so spoiled so fast from over-revealing trailers,
yeah.
Games, there's still kind of that mentality where they're niche enough that you don't have to worry about that. If you just avoid it, not a problem.
Yeah, usually they don't give away a story moment, maybe a good line of dialogue or
I avoided everything that had to do with BioShock Infinite so that I wouldn't be spoiled on anything on it. And then I ended up spoiling myself because of Google suggestions. But,
oh, no.
Yeah, I was just typing something in. I was watching like a 10 o'clock live, which is the UK kind of not necessarily the news or daily show, if you want now, with Charlie Brooker. And I had noticed his hair, and I was like, that looks like the hairdo from the guy from the cover of BioShock Infinite. So I put in
Don't spoil
the name.
It for me in case I play this game.
I put in what?
Don't spoil anything for me in case I...
Oh, no, no, I'm not. I'm not I put in the name Booker DeWitt because that's the guy's name. And then the moment I put in the name, Google suggestion shoots up the biggest freaking main spoiler of the game. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was right at the end of the game. I was going through it. I was, like, thinking things like, what's going on? This story, the way this story is playing out. You know, I had all these thoughts running around in my head, and I put in the name, and that suggestion comes up, and I was just devastated.
Can you define irony?
When you invest, it's not like watching a movie that's like just a two-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a game is like reading a really good book, especially a game that you enjoy. You invest anywhere from like 15 to even
definitely.
40 hours into some of these games.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have something so, like, just that moment spoiled, it was like a kick in the balls. I didn't go back to BioShock Infinite and finish it for a week.
You were so disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. While the ending was still powerful enough and it was still really well done, if I wouldn't have done that, if I just wouldn't have looked.
Yeah. That's the thing about spoilers. Like, we can talk about spoilers. Basically, the story of whoever the author, the video game programmer, the director, whoever, they put together this story where you're not supposed to find something out until that point in the story, or it ruins something. You could argue that, well, it doesn't ruin everything, or you could just watch it, get over it. Yeah, but you don't get to experience it the way you were supposed to. And that's what makes me mad about spoilers. I want to experience it the way I'm supposed to and not have anyone get in the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my general philosophy, I've said before, is spoilers don't really bother me that much, but I was so freaking invested in this game that it just killed me.
Just kicked you in the nuts?
Yeah, it was like the time that I was watching The Daily Show and the joke, they had some joke and it was Tom Hanks dies at the end for Saving Private Ryan. So it's like the entire movie that was stuck in my head. Like, I could not watch it without knowing that this character was going to die, and it was, you know, it was just, yeah, it was rough to finish BioShock Infinite because of that.
Yeah, Laura asked me if I wanted to borrow that. Should I play it?
I would play. I've told people that you don't have to play the original BioShock, but you do. You do. There's such a connection in world-wise.
Guys with diving suits on and stuff look creepy.
Yeah, that's the one. It takes place in Rapture. It's kind of a play on objectivism, Ayn Rand's philosophy with man is.
It's a video game. What?
Yeah. I know, it's really heady, and it's fantastic.
Is it for everybody?
Hmm?
Is it the kind of game for everybody, or, like, not everybody's going to dig this type of game?
I think it's people that want to experience the storytelling and the philosophy and all that stuff are going to love it, but also
even cynical members so of Generation well X.
Like, it's just so, it's so much freaking fun. It's probably one of the best first-person shooters ever. It's honestly one of my all-time favorite games, BioShock, the original. Wow. BioShock 2, not so much. Wasn't the same people that did the first BioShock.
Right.
It was more of 2K just going, hey, we need to do another BioShock.
Cash, baby. Woo-hoo.
Cash money. So it wasn't, Cha-ching. It didn't really have the heft, the gravitas of the original BioShock.
Gravitas. What I was going to say, Bill, is our next show, I really want you to talk about The Last of Us.
I will. I'm probably not going to play it after the show, only because I'll be so damn tired, but I am going to play it this week.
I read this thing. There's no spoilers, but Kotaku has tips on what to do before you start playing, and it's pretty helpful, I think.
Oh, is it? Should I read it?
Yeah, don't do this, this, and this. Do this. You know how in a lot of these new games, they have ways to upgrade your talents and your weapons and stuff? They had that in Tomb Raider where I could choose to either add extra.
So they're just giving you a guide to make the game more enjoyable and less frustrating.
To make it where, which is more important. Like, for instance, on Tomb Raider, you can either add a stock to not shake so much with the rifle, or you could add an extra clip that gives you more bullets, or a sound suppressor. Which do I do first, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you have to go for the stock because you got to be able to aim straight, right?
Yeah.
But it's stuff like that, you know?
Okay, because I could have used that for BioShock Infinite, because with the whole BioShock world, there's these what they call them in Infinite are vigors, and they're potions that give you different powers. And as you go through the game, you gain more, and you can use them in different ways. And when it comes down to, like, the final battle, when you're just getting wave after wave after wave of people, there's certain vigors that would have helped more than others. And I think it took me longer to finish that, and it was more frustrating because I didn't have the vigors that I needed maxed out or, you know, upgraded.
Let me ask you this. When you play a game, are you just get the storyline over, or do you do exploring and
I explore.
Extras?
I love – that's just something – when you're in that game, like, especially as I was playing BioShock Infinite, like, I would look for areas – like, right. Because I know they're hiding things. They put little – it's like a scavenger hunt. They put these little – in BioShock Infinite, they call them voxophones, where they're basically audio diaries that expand on the story as you're going through the game.
Yeah, that's what Tomb Raider does, where you find little diary entries, and a lot of games do stuff like that.
And a lot of times when you find a diary entry, there will be something that will help you, like maybe more that'll give you more experience to level up certain aspects of your character, or something, you know, stuff like that. Cool. It's not like in Gears of War where you just collected dog tags and they really did absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Now, like,
hey, there's a dog tag.
Basic. Okay, the Xbox One, that was announced last week, but they came up with a price point this week. And it was for $499.
Yeah, and that was... when they revealed that, when they revealed $500 just for the system, I was like, oh, shit. That's just too much money. It's too much.
It's pretty expensive, but they're like, hey, it comes with a Kinect, though.
Mm.
Remember the thing that stays on all the time?
All the time, the camera. And so that's the big controversy with Xbox One right now, is they're so obsessed with digital rights management that they're like trying to push this thing that the always-on internet connection is actually a benefit, you know, that it's actually going to help the system.
Yeah.
And it's the thing, a lot of people don't want it because what they want is a game system. If they wanted something like that, they would just use their computer.
And they're trying
to ram this like all-in-one entertainment box on people, and that's not what gamers want.
And what was the whole thing about if you buy a game, you have to be connected to the internet to play it?
If you buy a game, let's see if I'm let me think about this. You basically, that game has now been registered to your system. Yeah, in order to play it, it needs to be verified and then locked to your system. You cannot sell it. If you do sell it, the other person then has to basically pay for the game again, like a pass to be able to use it on their system.
Yeah, that's
so. There's
like
there's
bullshit.
This whole convoluted
get rid of, like, GameStop type stores.
Yeah, there's this whole convoluted like rights management going on with it, and it's pissing people off to the extreme. And I agree with it. I honestly do. I don't think it's right. There's been a form of that right now with EA. They do this thing called Online Pass,
right,
where in order to play it online, you've got to have this pass that comes with the game. And I think whenever you sell that game back to like GameStop or whatever you have, whatever, you know, used game retailer you have, you then have to purchase another game pass to be able to play that. If the one's been redeemed already for the game.
It sounds so complicated and stupid.
Yeah, it's basically they want their money.
Yeah, they hate that used game system, don't they?
Yo, they despise it because they're not making any money off of it.
Right. It's like, no, you did make your money off of it when the person bought it originally.
And if the person liked it enough, they would have kept it.
Right.
You know, so maybe you should concentrate on making better games instead of...
I don't sell
games. Well,
that would
kind of kill the game rental industry, too.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the game rental industry itself has been kind of dead.
Well, they have that one Netflix thing where you rent games. What is that, Bill?
Redbox?
Yeah.
Gamefly
and Redbox.
Gamefly and Redbox also
does games. Will you still be able to do those with Xbox One games?
No.
See? Okay, so then...
Not games that require, like, the online... Connect. Well, every game is going to require the online connection for the Xbox One, no.
Okay, so that happens, and then Sony, they have their press conference, and they basically, they see how Microsoft has rubbed everyone the wrong way, the Xbox, so they have this slanted kind of thing where they tell you everything that they won't do, and everyone loves it. And I have it here, and just listen to it, how the crowd cheers after everything they say. And it's kind of
funny. Shit-eating grin that the guy that announces it has. I think it was Jack Trenton, the head of Sony Entertainment.
He enjoyed himself.
He really did.
And then listen to when the price point of the new PlayStation comes up. All right, check this out. Remember, the Xbox One, $499, $500. All right, check this out.
The gaming landscape is changing with new business models and new ways to play. But at PlayStation, concepts like true consumer ownership and consumer trust are central to everything
consumer
we do.
Trust.
For instance, PlayStation 4 won't impose any new restrictions on the use of PS4 gamers. When a gamer buys a PS4 disc, they have the rights to use that copy of the game. They can trade in the game at retail, sell it to another person, lend it to a friend, or keep it forever. PlayStation 4 disc-based games don't need to be connected online to play. And it won't stop working if you haven't authenticated within 24 hours. I'm pleased to confirm that your PS Plus membership will carry over to PlayStation 4. If you're a Plus member today or become one tomorrow, you're already set for PlayStation 4. For less than $5 a month, members will get discounted games, cloud saves, automatic game updates, early access to beta programs, an instant game collection, as well as the ability to fully immerse themselves in the incredible PS4 games with online multiplayer.
I'm very proud to announce that PlayStation 4 will be available at $399.
Undercut him 100
Thank you so much for being here. Good night.
And out.
Yeah, but, they just dropped the mic and walked off stage.
And because of the whole Xbox things, you know, everyone's like, holy shit, it's $100 cheaper! Mm-hmm. Sold!
And I thought this was amazing. Years ago, there's even a clip of it on YouTube. Years ago, whenever Sony was getting into the gaming industry, and they announced the price point for the PlayStation, they came up and they just said $299, and that was it. And that killed the Sega Saturn. That was right then and there. That was the nail in the coffin for Sega Saturn. And it was like that again, honestly, whenever they came out and said $399.
And they really learned their lesson from the PS3, because when the PS3 first came out, it was a big...
They were arrogant.
It was a big, powerful system. And remember, Blu-ray players were mega expensive when they first came out. And this played Blu-rays. So they were like, $599. And we're like, huh? Like, what? Like, holy shit, $600? Are you kidding me? Hey, but it comes with Talladega Nights, man. Come on.
It'll play Blu-rays. You don't have to buy a Blu-ray player, too. But it's so damn loud when you play a Blu-ray.
It is loud. It's my original is still pretty loud.
You know
it's
what?
Hot.
Xbox is way louder, though. For me, mine's like...
Well, you still have that original Halo 3 Xbox, too, so...
Yeah, but...
That old fan in that...
Yeah, but when you buy a thing, it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter which version you buy. It should be quieter. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
It should have been... It's a really poorly designed... That original Xbox design is bad.
Big honking plastic thing. I have to say that the PS4 looks nice. I like that slanted-looking thing.
Yeah, that slanted box. It's nice.
It's pretty nice-looking. And
I'm very impressed with the PlayStation Network now. Best Buy is running a thing where if you're a Reward Zone member, you get $10 off a year or I don't know what. I think it's like $5 off for 6 months or something. And so it's $39.99 for a year, PlayStation Plus, and I picked it up. You know, I'm jumping on the PlayStation bandwagon. Plus, I'm doing The Last of Us and all that. So I was gonna like, you know what? I'll tidy it up. I'll freshen up my PlayStation stuff.
Well, and here's another thing. The Sony says, okay, the PS4 isn't backwards compatible, but you will be able to play those PS3 games on PSN, right?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to start making some of them available.
Like some kind of cloud-type version?
Yeah, I don't know what the exact thing is, but yeah.
But also, with your membership, your PSN membership, you get a shitload of like free games every month, right?
You do. I was just logged into it looking at it. And another great thing is I have the PlayStation Vita. And that PlayStation Plus actually runs across all your PlayStation systems.
Right, right.
So it's like there will be games that are free that you can play on your Vita. There's games that are – like this month it's the Uncharted game, Golden Abyss, for the Vita that you can actually download and play for free.
That's sweet.
There was another one. I forget what it is on – I think it's the Deus Ex game that came out. What was it? Deus Ex Human Revolution that came out a couple months ago or last year. Right. I don't know. That is free this month to play. I mean, there's multiple games, and plus there's stuff that if you have a PlayStation Plus membership, the stuff is actually discounted.
And you know what? There's a lot of PS3 games I haven't played that are really good. there's been some really good five-star games that, like,
there have.
Uncharted, Drake's Fortune. I never played
that. I love the Uncharted games.
I played the first one.
I haven't played the last one yet, Drake's Deception.
And I have to admit that Tomb Raider is basically Uncharted.
Yeah, it is. I played the opening of it. And it took every quick time event game.
Yeah.
Part of it. But yeah, it is.
But when Xbox first came out, there were a lot of games that we like for the Xbox that weren't on PlayStation, like Gears of War, Halo, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
there are Xbox One exclusives that I am going to be buying an Xbox One to play them.
Like, let me ask you this. Like, the Last of Us is a PlayStation exclusive because it's Naughty Dog, right?
Yes.
Okay, the new game that looks freaking awesome called... don't blank on it. It's by Bungie. What is it called?
Destiny.
Destiny. What system is that going to be on?
That's multi-platform.
See, there you go.
That's Xbox One, that's PS4, and that's PC, I believe.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
The Xbox One has... There's our Crimson Dragon, which is a new Panzer Dragoon game, which, holy shit, Panzer Dragoon.
Oh, I know. When that video played, there was no sound, and people were like, boo!
Yeah, yeah. But it just, I'm a huge Panzer Dragoon fan. Like, just love those games.
Yeah, that was on the Saturn, right?
No way.
Yeah,
Yu Suzuki? Is that the guy who made it?
Suzuki!
Ridge Racer! Yeah, that guy was like some famed dude who made that game. It's badass. He also did a game called Burning Rangers. It was like one of the last games.
I have it for my Saturn.
That was one of the games I read about in Electronic Gaming Monthly. They were like, you got to play this game if you still play your old Sega... what was it called? The Sega Saturn.
Yeah, Ridge Racer!
That is one of the reasons I will never sell my Sega Saturn, is there are games for it. It's become, like, now it's so funny that the system is now coveted by people. There's certain games or game series. Like, I have the Knights game.
Does anyone covet the Dreamcast? Christmas. I still have that.
What?
I still have the Dreamcast if anybody wants that.
I have the Dreamcast that is modified to run Japanese games, and I have an original Dreamcast in a box, never opened.
Awesome.
I bought it from, what was it? ThinkGeek had them. Like, they ran into, like, a lot of them.
You know what, Bill? I played all of Shenmue on the Dreamcast. I'm ready to play Shenmue 2. What system
is that? That's a Yu Suzuki game, yeah?
Yeah, that guy, have you seen Lan D? I just remember that game was groundbreaking at the time when you play it. Now you're like,
dude, I'm totally going to the arcade. I'm playing Hang On.
Yeah, you go to the arcade and your character is playing old Sega games. Then you're like, ooh. And you can even make your guy go home and take a nap, Bill. Bill, are you still there?
Ah! I guess my power doesn't like when I talk about Shenmue.
Oh, Billy.
Yay, Bill's Mac. Woohoo.
Just had a little power flash cycle surge thing. Sorry.
Okay, well, that was fun video game talk, Bill, but I have some voicemail. You ready to get into that?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. The first one is from Ross. We haven't heard from this guy in a while. Let's see what he wants.
Who's Ross? I have no idea who this
is. Ross from the Bay Area. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, this is Ross of Ye Old Bay Area of California. Just calling to say that I'm loving the new show. I think Entertainment Landfill is wonderful, even if it is a little bit derivative of Nowhere in Mulberry. Just,
oh,
you know,
how dare he go
bit.
There.
last time you guys put out a show, I listened to it, and then once I was done, immediately went and restarted it and listened to it again. So it was like a 7-hour rock block of Nowhere in Mulberry. Or, I'm sorry, Entertainment
nice.
Landfill. I didn't mean to offend you guys. Really love the show. I was thinking about what you guys were talking about last time when you were talking about how much hatred there was for that M. Night Shyamalan movie. And I just don't understand it. I mean, I think we can all agree that making movies is really, really hard, and yet we hold people who make them up to the standard of perfection. Like, I hear that all the time. Well, it wasn't a perfect movie. And I'm like, since when have we, like, used perfection as the benchmark of how we want to do things? It's kind of the same thing for, like, sports athletes. You always hear about, like, well, he was good, but he wasn't that good. It's like, that guy can do more than you could ever do, because what he's doing is insanely hard, and yet we're holding him to this standard that's, like, impossible for any of us to reach. So anyway, the fact that, you know, that movie might not have even been that good, but the fact that he's been able to make, like, you know, 10 films and I haven't been able to make zero makes him up and winning the whole game, in my opinion. So anyway, it's great to hear you guys on the air. I hope you guys make like a million more shows, and in doing so, get discovered by somebody other than Talk Radio X, because you guys really deserve it. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yes, anybody but them. But yeah, I agree with you somewhat. I mean, we as people feel that we are owed something many times when we go to see a movie.
Like, yeah, why is that?
I don't know, but it's just like, hey, you better be good, or I'm going to rip you to shreds on the internet, you know, or something like that. But for some reason, people choose people to pile on, you know, and M. Night is one of them.
Yeah, he is.
It's just fun to hate that guy, I guess, for people. Just like, for some reason, James Cameron became that guy when Avatar came out. It just happens. Like, I'm curious how Zack Snyder will be treated after Man of Steel.
Especially by conservatives. Well, they call themselves conservatives, but this is really just, you know, code for dickhole.
Oh, yeah. Anything like, well, oh, yeah, okay, this guy, he cares about Mother Earth or whatever, but look what kind of car he's driving. It takes fuel, right? It's just like, you know what, maybe you should just shut up and stick your head in the oven, okay?
Exactly, yeah. Just use some of that natural gas.
Just soak your head in the toilet, okay? But yeah, anyway, thank you, Ross. And we have another voicemail, this one from Sean. Let's check it out. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
We haven't heard from this guy in a while.
This water bottle is really loud, I'm sorry.
/ Entertainment Landfill, it's Sean in Los Angeles.
Hi, Sean.
It's been a while since my last voicemail. I got really busy with school stuff and then just a lot of other things that came up.
Problem.
And I unfortunately fell behind on listening to the shows for a bit. I still haven't caught up yet. I think I'm on only the first episode of the when you guys switched over to the Entertainment Landfill title, but I'm making my way through. I listened to about 3 or 4 episodes in the last week, and hopefully we'll keep that up. So I can be all caught up with the new episodes in a week or two. But I've been loving what I'm hearing, and sounds like the name change went off without a hitch. Unfortunately, I can't leave too much detailed feedback on your last episodes because I haven't listened to them yet. But I just wanted to call and say hi because I miss you guys, and I want you to know that I haven't forgotten about you, and I am still listening, just a little slower. Like I said, I was busy with school, and I actually started an internship a couple weeks ago at a trailer house here in Hollywood, and it's pretty cool to see how trailers get cut and the thoughts and what goes into making them and the choices. It's pretty interesting, and yeah, it's been a good experience. I hope everything's going well with you. I'm jealous that you all got to see Man of Steel last night at midnight. I'm hopefully going to check it out this weekend, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on it during your show tonight. So you guys all take care, and I'll talk to you later. All right. Love you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean. You know, this is actually something really special. How often is it that a movie that comes out on a Friday when we're doing the show that we've actually seen? It's usually all three of us have seen Man of Steel, and usually, sometimes, Bill, you have only seen it because you saw it early.
Yeah.
And there's no way I'm, like, usually, like, when school's in session, the way movies are early in the day, it just, there's no way I could get out of the theater in time to pick up Emma, but now it's summertime or whatever.
My work can fly, so.
Yeah, it's just impossible. So it's really awesome that this happened. You know, we get to talk about a movie right when it comes out. And it's nice to hear from you, Sean. All right, another voicemail. This one from Todd. Todd from the ATL, guys. Let's check it out.
Hey, Entertainment Landfill. This is Todd from the ATL. Can't wait to hear your guys' take on Superman. I'm going to go see it Saturday night with the love of my life, shall we say. And, yeah, I have to drag her out and see these things. So just can't wait to hear that. I really wish you guys would consider reviewing, like, Game of Thrones, because, man, this past season was really freaking intense, and then the 9th episode was pretty crazy with the Red Wedding. So, anyway, I hope you guys can, I guess, start, I don't know, some more shows other than the 4 or 5.
More shows?
I know you guys got a time limit there. So anyway, hope you guys have a great show. Take it easy. Bye.
It's the kind of thing like Game of Thrones. I got behind on it, and I could catch up on it with HBO On Demand. Mm-hmm. It's just the kind of thing of finding the time to do it. It took me years to finally watch Breaking Bad, and I have a feeling one day I'm going to just start watching Game of Thrones and blow through it, you know, within a week or so.
And since when have we had a time limit other than Talk Radio X?
Oh, yeah. Dude, we have no time limit. We'll go on forever if we have to.
Time limits.
Yeah, that's... Bill, when's the break? We got to finish this up.
Ollie Barrett's coming up. We need to do it. We need a break now.
Okay, we have one more final voicemail. This one from Rick. And Rick sounds like he needs advice from Steven and Bill. So you guys listen closely to this. It's pretty important. All right, let's check it out.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Rick. Just gonna go outside and record this one, you know. Listen to the dogs barking and whatever. The show's recently been really good. It's great to hear you guys back on a week-to-week basis. And, you know, just filling my boring week full of, you know, news, entertainment, DVDs, TiVo information where I can just kind of, you know, just soak it all in while I'm working and make one day at work just bearable. That's what I'm after. And then once that's done, I got to listen to some old school. That's all that's got to happen. Anyway... guess what I did recently? Come on. I'm going to ask this again. Hey, Stephen, Bill, guess what I did recently? Huh. Okay, has anyone got any idea? No?
No, I don't know.
No?
No.
I did a effing sleep study. That's correct. Yes, that's why I didn't ask Jason, because Jason doesn't have a problem with sleeping.
Dude, I have a beagle.
Yeah, I did a sleep study. I've been told recently by a few people that I stopped breathing in my sleep. Wow. And I snore a little bit. Yeah, I can admit that. I was just kind of in denial because, you know, I'm not really a heavy guy, so I kind of thought, you know, it's not really one of my mates. He's got sleep apnea and, you know, he's a bit of a bigger guy, and, you know, it's only with big... Anyway, so apparently I've been diagnosed with sleep apnea.
Trying to say I'm fat!
Which is great. I did, I also listened back to episode 254 or 255. That's one where, Stephen, he was doing his, and, Bill was talking about his experience, and I was like... Damn, that's just kind of what happened with me. That's freaking very annoying, you know? So I did that, and then I got this results back, and they said, yeah, you got to come back in for another night of the most uncomfortable sleeping you've ever had.
Yep.
And I was like, great, yeah, this will be fantastic. And then I want to ask Jay... Stephen and Bill on their like own personal experiences, like did they notice like a drastic difference? Because I wake up in the morning, I'm not entirely like refreshed, and if I could just wake up and go, holy crap, this day's I feel great, you know, because apparently I don't get much nose, I don't get much air through my nose, so I kind of mouth breathe a lot, and then, you know, you get a bit of that sound, and just not, anyway, I just want to know if you guys noticed, like, a huge difference in, this is like an entertainment pop culture podcast, but I'm now getting some advice on a sleep apnea. That's why I love you guys, because you're, like, so relevant to my life, and that's why I've been listening for so long. Wait, I'm back in the house, I can hear the washing machine, I'm going to go back outside.
I love that we're, like, so we're hanging out.
I was thinking maybe these guys are just trying to sell me a, a CPAP or BiPAP machine or whatever they think I need. And, you know, my mate, he has it. I was thinking about just borrowing it from him for a night and just setting it like a generic kind of will suit anyone pressure and seeing if it actually works.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I would like to know. yeah, thanks guys, and also I just want to say shows lately have been great, and I'm really glad to see you guys back week to week, and hopefully you're back again this week, and you can help me out on my sleeping problems. But yeah, I was listening to that episode, Bill, where you were telling about that story, and I totally understand how ridiculously uncomfortable it was, just... And I had to get up and piss during the night, and I was like, okay, this is going to be annoying. I apologize for the swearing. Jason, you can bleep that out. Oh, you already did. Oh. The magic of cinema. All right. There wasn't cinema, but I love you guys, and anything would be great in the freaking... If you could help me out there, that'd be fantastic. I love you guys. I really do. And...
We love you, too.
I really like the fact that you're just this stability I have in my life. And as I look out over the mountains from my front door, I think, you
Australia
know what?
Australia has mountains?
I'm going I to could Rick's really house. Go some pizza. This was Rick from Australia. I love you guys. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Do you guys have advice for Rick there?
You want to go? You want to go first, Bill?
I was just going to ask Steven if he wanted. Yes, do it. Do the second night. You will feel a difference. It's night and day. And let me just preface this with I'm going to get a little heavy here. Okay. My dad has a certain type of injury that gives him what's called. It's not obstructive sleep apnea. It's, I believe it's central sleep apnea. It's basically because he has a spinal cord injury, which affects an area along his spine that controls the diaphragm. His diaphragm can't expand fully. So he's got two forms of sleep apnea, obstructive and central. And sleep apnea does a number on your heart. It makes your heart pump way harder than it needs to. And a couple months ago, you know, kind of went through a thing with my dad where he is now suffering from right-sided heart failure because of sleep apnea, untreated sleep apnea.
Yeah.
So sleep apnea is not something you take lightly.
Not something to mess around with.
It'll also cause strokes too.
Yeah. There were times early on where I was particularly heavy. I was really, really heavy. At my worst, suffering from major depression, untreated bipolar disorder, I was, I think, at my highest about 655 pounds. And there were times where I would wake up and my head would be throbbing. And it was because your heart is under so much stress that you can't get enough oxygen to your brain. So your heart just starts pump, 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 pump. And it will cause the valves on your heart to either harden or like create a bottleneck, and then it creates even more back pressure in your heart that it can't exchange the used oxygen, the CO2, for new oxygen. And that causes fluid buildup, and that causes organ shutdown. So sleep apnea is not something you screw with.
Right. It's not something
And don't
you
borrow
should...
somebody else's CPAP yeah. machine, because it is a pressure... I mean, it's pressure regulated depending on how much... I mean, if he's a bigger guy, his pressure might be high.
But he's not a bigger guy. He's a skinny mini. So what
no,
I'm
no, no,
thinking...
No, 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 his buddy
is, he
wants
to borrow. He might either have... It's a he might have central sleep apnea. He might have obstructive sleep apnea. But it also might have something to do, I don't know if he's had his tonsils out or anything like that. So this is something that he needs to take seriously, and he needs to go back for the second thing. It's a pain in the ass. We all have had to do it. The first one is just to verify you have it. The second one is to verify what the right settings are, because they tweak them through the night to see at what point does your oxygen intake, like your breathing pattern, the power of the air. BiPAP is also probably what he's going to be getting, because BiPAP actually
BiPAP.
Lowers the as you breathe out, it lowers, so it doesn't. It's not as hard to breathe.
So is it basically best not to even speculate what you think is wrong with you and just have the study done?
Yeah, just complete it, and I promise him he will feel the first week that you're on it is like. You're like skipping around. Like it's just you've got so much more energy. You're so much more focused. That does wear off. I mean, cause your body gets used to it, cause you're starting to sleep normal.
Right.
It's
just, you're finally getting rest. Real
yeah.
Rest.
But yeah, that's the whole thing, is your body can't, because of the apnea, it can't enter that restful state. You're kind of in this half state of sleep.
Your brain wakes up enough to make you breathe.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, you're kind of, like you said, you're in that half sleep, half not. And so your brain is active all night long and doesn't get to full rest that it needs to.
Yeah.
I didn't notice a bunch of extra energy. I wasn't exhausted.
Yeah.
I actually just felt good all day for a change.
Yeah, and it's like you weren't, when I would be in the car doing anything... Where I'm just sitting around.
But like the first month,
I would fall asleep.
The first month I was on mine, my pressure was lower. So mm-hmm. if I'd have been on the right pressure, maybe from the get go,
yeah,
I might have had the extra energy that everybody else said they got. I was on 16 and 20 liters per minute, and they bumped me up to 18 and 22.
Yeah,
I mean, I was still having apneas with it 16 and 20.
And it's you have obstructive sleep apnea. It's just something in your throat, because you're not a heavy guy. I would say that you're average. I mean, you're not a big dude. So it's just something that the way the body works. It's the brain, the throat, it's crazy. You don't have to be large to have sleep apnea.
Yeah, the funny one with me when the nurses in there that night, they're setting you up, putting all the lead sets on, and they're about to walk out. And, you know, it's perfectly normal for men to get several erections in their sleep. I'm like, really? You got to tell me this?
Why would they even bring that up?
They're trying to tell me not to be embarrassed by it. I'm like, why would I have been embarrassed?
Yeah, if it's natural, why?
And then you're putting a thought into my head, and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to have a dirty dream or something.
Yeah, exactly. Why? Maybe they're doing it on purpose.
I think they did.
Hey, guys, I hope that's helpful for Rick, but it's time to get into entertainment and talk about Man of Steel. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it! Entertainment! All right. You know, we have World War Z coming out next week, Bill. We'll be back to talk about that, right?
Oh, yeah, right away. I'll go to the midnight showing.
I don't know how
I care about World War Z.
World War Z, fast zombies. Hey, I'm kind of my curiosity. It depends on what my curiosity level is next Friday. That's what it is.
And it depends on if it's a viral zombie versus the undead zombie.
Oh, it is a viral zombie.
Okay, yeah, so it doesn't...
Even World War Z was more, you know, Romero zombie, but it was still a virus. It originated in China.
Fast zombies.
But they weren't fast. They were just ill and dead-like.
So let's talk about Man of Steel. Superman, he's fast, right?
Very.
He's a fast dude. Zack Snyder did Man of Steel, and let's say this. Like, I think a lot of people, when we heard that Christopher Nolan was the producing, maybe it'll be more mature Superman like a Dark Knight. I do think that it was more high-stakes Superman than we've seen before in the movies.
But it wasn't dark.
I wouldn't say it was dark. It had some, some violence in there and stuff, but it wasn't... Okay, the original, like, Richard Donner Superman, it had some goofy stuff in there, especially Superman 2. Yes, some. So this doesn't have the goofy stuff. Well, I guess I'll say that. But when the movie first opens on Krypton, first of all, when I heard that Russell Crowe was playing Jor-El, I figured it'd be a pretty small role. But they found a way to have him in the movie where he made an impact, and I thought that was really cool.
A viable impact. It was very impressed by that.
In fact, they equally used Kevin Costner in an equal way where he had an impact, too.
Kevin Costner was the heart. He was the beating heart. He and Diane Lane.
Yeah, they were both excellent.
If I had any complaint at all about the movie was that I wanted more of them.
Oh.
I wanted like another 40 minutes of them.
Yeah, that would have been cool. That's another thing. Okay, the movie starts with Krypton, and we see more of Krypton than we've ever seen in a Superman movie before. And
That was awesome, by the way.
I was eating that stuff up with a spoon, and Jor-El's flying beast thing that
And it just to show you how much... heart the movie has, the way I felt for that thing when it got injured and crashed. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, and I love the technology of the robots. It had like that weird kind of metallic things.
The liquid metallic kind of
thing. Yeah, liquid metal that would form pictures and stuff. That was sweet.
Polymimetic alloy?
I love that. They didn't do like the hologram thing. They did something that was like tangible, that was tactile.
And they didn't do, like in the Superman movies, they didn't do the ice stuff. That's what's so funny about Smallville is they weren't really creative. They just copied what they saw in the movies, you know, and a lot of things. So it was cool they came up with their own shit in this movie.
I think that's been the curse of Superman from the Donner films forward. People have become so infatuated or obsessed with it that they couldn't break free of that design.
They actually used, I believe it, I read that John Byrne did a Man of Steel comic where he... you know, retold the origin of Superman, and they used a lot of those designs for the Kryptonian council and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty sweet. And I also like, remember in Superman 2 when we see Zod, he's very, I mean, Terrence Stamp is awesome, don't get me wrong, but the character of Zod is just a dick, and we don't know much more about it than that.
He's just
an
evil dude. That's it. It's Zod. He's evil. What does he want? He wants to kill people. Oh, okay.
But in this movie, we know exactly what Zod's deal is and why he feels the way he does, and I thought that was really cool. You know,
I actually felt for Zod. He was doing his job. He was trying to carry on a legacy. He was created to do it.
Yeah. And what can I say about the effects? The effects were awesome.
You know how that feeling after you saw The Matrix where you're like, whoa. That's how I felt after Man of Steel. It's like the bar had been raised. Like, I immediately did my knee-jerk Marvel bashing, of course, because I am a DC fanboy. I fully and totally admit I'm a DC fanboy on Facebook. I was like, yeah, Joss Whedon, take note.
I'm a Marvel boy.
But it was just something about it, the scale of it. Like, I couldn't help but go, I guess because I wanted so much more from the Avengers that it looked like it was shot in Cleveland. This world-ending apocalyptic battle was... just this huge battle should have had more scale, but for some reason it didn't. And then you see this battle or this scale of in Superman, or I'm sorry, Man of Steel, and it was just like, holy shit, this is what it's supposed to look like.
Dude, how effed up is Metropolis by the end of this movie?
Yeah, I mean, Metropolis, it was
freaking disaster
decimated.
Area.
It was decimated.
Dude, and
and the thing that like blew my mind is like, this is two dude, there's like the amount of destruction that goes on other than the world engine is all Zod and Superman.
Yeah, like them fighting each other.
Yeah, it's insane.
Okay, here's the thing I love also, and I would say if you don't want to hear any more Man of Steel talk, if you don't want any kind of slight spoilers, I would say skip over this, you know, a good 10 minutes. But I love that there was no kryptonite in the movie.
None. It was done in a way that, okay, if this is from your world, won't it make you weaker?
Yeah, I love that basically Kal-El has adjusted to Earth. And so when they get here, they can't really breathe our atmosphere well. You know, they're not used to it. So when he goes on their ship and breathes that Kryptonian kind of atmosphere, it makes him really sick. Because he's
spitting up blood. His lungs are bleeding.
Yeah, so that's like the weakness there that they play
their
into.
Their little gas mask helmet.
And any time he gets caught in the environment of the world engine.
Right. And I love also that when the Kryptonian people, you know, the Zod's army people, they're not used to any of the abilities they have. Like, he, like, can see through his hand. He's like, whoa. He's like, what have you done to me? Because he's not used to any of his abilities. Mm-hmm. But Clark is, or Kal-El, Superman. And I totally like... Yeah. I already said to skip over this part.
No, I know. But just saying who Kal-El, Superman,
Clark Kent. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry I revealed that, you guys. But also, I really think that...
sorry. Bad joke.
Bill, I totally blanked on the guy who plays Superman. What's his name?
Oh, Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Henry Cavill did a great job.
He carried the gravitas, man.
Was there a part...
Just the emotion on his face. Mm-hmm. Reactions, even just the way they've kind of built the character up is
he's
kind of this
mysterious.
Drifter,
yeah,
trying to figure out where he is and what's going. Yeah, it worked. It worked for me.
Oh, you know, another thing that really worked for me is that when the movie first starts on Krypton, you think Superman's going to arrive. He's a baby. Mom, Pa can't raise him. We're going to see the high school years, and then eventually, you know, just like Superman the movie. But no, they don't do that. They start cutting around from the present to the past. And I really like that because you cut to the chase, as it were.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like the cliff notes, but it worked in a way. His past, the reactions and what shaped him and how his parents were. I mean, like I said, I would have loved 40 more minutes of that stuff cut in between it. It almost kind of reminded me of... I guess I would call this the Passion of the Superman, because that's the way the Passion of the Christ is cut, is he's going through this experience, like it throws you right into it, mm-hmm. but then in these moments of levity, it goes back to him with his mother, or things like that, and it kind of makes it more poignant.
It was very Terrence Malick-ish when they do the little flashbacks, kind of Tree of Life-ish.
Yeah,
the way they would show little moments like the trees and the surrounding something, and then it would cut to where he's doing, like walking. But another thing is I realized after I thought about it, when he in his drifter period, he's working his way up to the ship in the, was it the Arctic?
The Arctic.
Yeah.
He's working his way up to the Arctic, so he's doing all these false identities and doing odd jobs, but he's getting closer and closer to it, till finally when we meet Lois Lane and they're there at that discovery. That's the whole thing he's been building his way up to.
You're right. I didn't even think about that, the way he's working his way up north.
Yeah. It's really cool when I thought about that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what he's doing. Okay.
Oh, and so that's why he's on a crab boat. Okay, and now I...
And I love how, you know, he keeps encountering things. He almost shows that his destiny is to save people. Like, all through his life, he's there when something horrible happens, and he can do something.
Right.
And his whole thing with his dad is, like, the world's not ready yet, Clark. You can't do this yet. You can't reveal yourself. And thank God John Schneider wasn't in this movie.
You know what I was thinking was, like, thank God that wasn't Tom Welling, because that would come across so freaking wooden. Like, it just, that was my first thought. Like, and people wanted Tom Welling? Are you kidding me? This is, ugh.
Yeah, that's a bad show called Smallville, people, and it's over. But another thing is,
it's over, Johnny.
I love the use of Russell Crowe in the movie, how he would show up at different times using that Superman emblem thing. I thought that was cool. And the part where he saves Lois, he's there on the ship. They gave him some personality, and they gave him something to do, which I thought was cool. It wasn't like Marlon Brando's voice.
Yeah, we didn't even have to deal with the voiceover that even Bryan Singer couldn't help but use.
Yeah. That dude liked the Donner Superman a little too much.
A little too much, yeah.
I was talking about, I couldn't really find any Easter eggs in the movie except a tanker has LexCorp on it, I noticed.
Satellite has Wayne Enterprises on it.
Ah,
the satellite that they break into and then throw at one another.
Dude, I loved when they started throwing trucks and shit around. That was
awesome.
Oh my
god, that was, and then even like the train, the massive diesel train.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I was just the battles are just so huge and so giddily wonderful to watch, and then how fast Feyora was. Like when she would go after those soldiers that are trying to shoot her, and it's just like boom, 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 boom.
Oh, dude, I love that. That Kryptonian chick who was badass, but you hated her.
Yeah.
They're all like just going like shooting her. She's just standing there looking at him. It's like, I don't think the bullets are doing any good. And the way she would do this really quick, like and like punch him and stuff, it was really awesome and well thought out. It was super, you know, they had powers.
Yeah.
And you know what? The ships, the Kryptonian ships, the way it would zip around in the theater, that was loud as hell, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There I was just like, holy shit! It was really loud, but just the action scenes and stuff, you have the feeling that Zack Snyder laid in bed just like, okay, what am I going to do? And just thought up these ideas.
And you know what the greatest thing about it was? There wasn't a moment where it was unfollowable.
Right. No.
Even
totally.
Whenever they're playing that cat and mouse game around the buildings,
mm-hmm.
like they're delivering the punches and all that, and then Zod goes somewhere, and then they're like just zipping around the buildings and all that. You got it. You knew what was going on.
And
you totally.
I love that the human characters had, you know, we keep seeing them throughout the movie, and then when the big climactic part of the movie, they're all there to help Superman too. Like,
yeah.
We have Christopher Maloney on the ship and the scientist guy. They're trying to get the ship turn it into a missile, basically. And it's so cool how, like, everyone helped. And even when you show Perry White, played by Lawrence Fishburne, and
Jack Crawford.
Yeah, and the scene where they're trying to save Jenny Olsen. I was wondering where Jimmy Olsen was, because it's Jenny Olsen.
I was like, is the guy Jimmy? Wait, no, his name isn't Jimmy Olsen.
Well, that was so miserable and scary when she's trapped in the rubble and they're trying to get her out and the wave keeps getting closer. That
That it's flattening, the world engine is flattening the cars and all that. I was like, oh, get her out. Get,
you see Superman. He's like, you know, like, that was awesome how they built the tension of that scene and what he's doing.
Yeah.
And
being
heard some
chased
that
by
point.
The defense mechanism of the world engine was so cool. Like, just there was so much of it that so much thought went into it, and then it just was executed on a level that we've never seen this kind of action, this scale, this we've never seen that before.
And the Kryptonian seems so like. Just mean, and their strength was just scary. Like the chick when they arrive on with Mrs. Kent, and they're like, "Where's the ship that he arrived in?" She's like, "Kiss my ass!" And the lady knocks over, and she just crashes through the roof of the barn and grabs it and crashes back out. They're just like freight trains, you know? the way they crash everything. And I love like how the planes are like shooting missiles at them and stuff. They're just trying to hit them with everything they've got. There was a great drone joke in there too, and he's like, "That's a $10 million drone."
Yes, he's I like, love that little the stinger there, and then whenever he, I also like that they went, "Are you effing kidding me?" Like he didn't actually say the word. They tamed it, but you would expect that. And then he turns around, and the girl's kind of giggling. He's kind of hot.
Yeah,
it just made me laugh out loud. I loved it. It was like a moment of. Like, just humor and levity after this massive battle.
And there were different applause moments in the movie. Like, early in the movie when that dick at the bar and then he, like, destroys his truck. People are like, yeah.
That's the moment, the first moment I went to go pee.
Oh, no. Did you get to see the truck?
I didn't see that. I knew it was coming up, that there was going to be kind of a lull. Basically, and I knew I was going to come back and see it.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't hold it anymore. I had to run and go pee.
Yeah, so basically when the guy is leaving the bar, he sees his truck has been impaled by all these, like, telephone poles or something, wasn't
lumber.
It? Lumber. He was like, all this lumber all was, like, impaled through it. Like, he's basically destroyed his truck, and the dude's like, huh? Like, that was pretty sweet. But I want to talk about the score by Hans Zimmer, because I've been thinking about this a lot, because... remember in Batman was bomb, bomb. Remember that?
Yeah.
Bomb, bomb. And this is dun, dun. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. Dun, dun. And I want to say,
yeah,
Hans Zimmer, dude, okay, we get it. Two notes. Can you do anything else? But it honestly didn't bother me. In fact, it works really well in the quiet, intimate scenes with Kevin Costner and a young Clark, and you hear the piano and stuff. It's really well done, or with the mom. Did you guys want that big Superman theme? Because we don't really get a real big theme. It's more like, bum, bum.
I would have loved the real... Like, you know which had a better theme? Even a better theme than this is Oblivion. That runs that, like, that quiet moment that runs throughout it, and I'm not even going to try to replicate it because I can't.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, you think this is kind of the Batman Begins for Superman, so you don't need a theme until Man of Steel 2, really.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. I think that, honestly, the studio, Warner Brothers, was like, we want you to do what you did with Batman. And he goes, well, with Batman I did... Bum, bum. Well, we want something like that. How about this? Listen. Dun, dun. Ooh, yeah. No, wait, I'm not done. Dun, dun. Okay, yeah. Wait. Dun, dun. Oh, yeah. Woo! Sign this guy up, man. He's got the theme down. And then there would be this giant percussive moments with, like, the Kryptonians. You know what I'm talking about, Bill? Where it's like, holy shit. But okay, dude, I don't care if you don't like Superman, whatever. See the movie just for the Zod Superman fight at the end of the movie. Am I right? Were you, like, out of breath by the time?
I was. When it was over, there was a guy next to me who just, like, let out this huge breath. And I just went, holy shit. And he started giggling. And I was just, that's what it was. It was just, it's exhausting. And it's just this spectacle.
And, you know, Superman had no time to worry about pedestrians and stuff. He was, like... Zod was on him. He had no time to, like, look around or, hey, are you guys cool?
Zod was using the pedestrians against him in a sense. Yeah, he was. Or trying to.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great... They gave a great moment to Christopher Maloney there when the chick says something about, like, your death... You know, something about death.
It's good to have an honorable death.
Yeah, an honorable death. And then later he turns that line on her and she's like, huh? And that was a good moment, too, I thought. Because there's that part where it's just one-on-one with Christopher Maloney and that chick, and he, like, pulls a knife on her, and she goes, sheen, pulls this Kryptonian knife, and he's just like, dude, you're totally screwed.
Yeah, you're done.
Your knife won't even cut her skin, dude.
I like that he wasn't going to give up.
Yeah.
Like, there was just something about that I found irresistible.
He was going to go down just fighting. But, yeah, Man of Steel, man, it was a lot of fun. And
Mike, can we just say, like, I was like, Michael Shannon is so freaking good.
He is.
That he just, he almost steals scenes, but just the dignity that Henry Cavill has, they just play off of each other perfectly.
I love that nightmare he has where basically Zod's communicating with him about what he's going to do to the planet Earth, and he's sinking down in the skulls and stuff. That was awesome.
That was.
And also, I just, you know, when they did that viral video where it was like, "You are not alone." I couldn't believe that was in the movie. I thought that was just like a viral thing.
Yeah, and then they show it in every country and in every language. And
yeah.
It's just like, oh, okay, well, this is serious.
And I love how they explained what they were doing. Like, they were in the Phantom Zone. Then when Krypton exploded, they were freed, and they had no home to go to, basically.
Right.
And he was
still
really
pissed.
And
that they kept exploring the different outposts. What I want to know is, what happened on those outposts?
I don't
know. Are they setting something up for, like, Justice League?
Like, I don't know.
Because every outpost they went to, it looked like the Kryptonians were trying to defend themselves. Like, they had the guns. Like, one of them, they did a shot of one, and it had, like, its mouth was open, like it was screaming, and it had a gun on it.
It looked like he died a miserable death.
Fighting, yeah.
And that's
they were
thing.
Fighting something. Like, okay. What are they setting up? What
I
is
say
it?
This, what you were talking about, Joss Whedon. The reason I like Joss Whedon handling the Avengers is he knows comics. And that's why I'm really proud of Zack Snyder. He gave us a Superman film that's not tied to the movies. It feels like it's tied to the comic book.
Yes, it is. And there's so many different influences in it.
If they're smart, Warner Brothers, they'll give Zack Snyder more leeway in the DC universe. Do you know what I mean? I'd really like to see him handle more stuff. Come on. If you watch the director's cut of Watchmen, you know the guy knows comic books, right?
I'm praying that there's a director's cut of Man of Steel. Please don't let that be everything. Like, I've like come to expect more from Zack Snyder once it becomes released. Like, is that everything? Is it all of it?
Dude,
I want a little more.
How sweet was when Superman starts flying? At first, he kind of jacks it up a little bit and falls down, but then he like steadies himself. Like,
I got this.
He rushes into it at first and then kind of gets excited, then crashes. Then he's like, "All right, I got this." And then when he just goes on this montage of flying really fast and breaking sound barriers and flying over the ocean, and then he goes into space. That whole sequence was just badass, wasn't it?
I liked that they had him flying over like the Serengeti or whatever, scaring the shit out of everything.
That was sweet. And just when he goes into space and everything, that was really cool. And it's a fun movie. It's exciting. It
excited me, and it inspired me. And in a way, the way you're talking about how, like, Zimmer's those notes, like, build, and I think I even read somewhere where he called it the hope theme.
Bum, bum. Yeah, remember, the S doesn't mean S. It means hope.
Yeah, so the moment where they finally call him Superman got such a huge laugh.
Yeah.
Like, in the theater, that it was and that kid that got that line he just delivered it wonderfully.
Oh, you know what? The whole movie is filled with TV actors, which I thought was cool. We had we even had Hilo and Gata from BSG.
Yeah, we did. I was going to say that. Yeah. Like
Christopher Maloney, of course, I mentioned before, but we also had the scientist guy that I've seen a lot of TV shows and
from the West Wing.
Yeah, from the West Wing, that guy. That guy had a brave death, didn't he? I mean,
was so disappointed that they killed him off.
They gave, like, the humans, like, they made them brave, not cowards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even when the horrible things happened to Jenny Olsen, they showed, like, you know, Perry White, he's not going to leave her there. He's going he's going to put himself in harm's way to save her and stuff like that. And the dude from House of Cards was in there. I don't know his name, but they had a lot of great actors.
Oh, yeah, the dude from House of Cards. Yeah, that guy.
But what was with, like, Clark when he was a little boy? A lot of dickheads, like, at school and stuff.
But isn't that... They always want to pick on the kid that tries to not be noticed.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is.
And I like the guy who was the bully, who ended up working at IHOP, ended up being his friend after he, like, saved his
Pete.
Life, you know? Yeah. And there's that part where he shows up in IHOP, and the guy's like, huh? And, like, looks over at him. Now, let me ask you this, Bill. At the very end, when we see him show up to the Daily Planet, and he's got his glasses on, does Lois know who he is?
Did you not see her reaction?
Yeah.
She almost bust out laughing.
Like, okay, that's what
when
I thought.
When she looks at him and, like, recognizes him and just, yeah, that was great. It was a great knowing moment.
In the old Superman, like, TV show or comics, that always drove me nuts that Lois didn't know who he was. I like the idea that she does. Hell, yeah. Even on Smallville, when Lois figures out that Clark is Superman, I liked much better. Because that shit gets old, man.
Get old.
And, hell, she used detective work that they probably use in reality to find who Superman was really
easily.
I like
that she was an actual, like, investigator kind of,
yeah,
plucky, more, you know, she not that into, annoying kind of,
yeah,
Margot Kidder type.
Margot
Kidder
and
type,
she,
yeah,
tracked him to Kansas really fast, though, didn't she? I mean, I think in reality, in this day and age, you probably could find out where he grew up pretty fast.
Yeah.
You just follow the stories of good deeds back to this origin spot, you know? So yeah. I think that's cool, and I like that they get that out of the way. But I'm excited about the future of Superman. I know that I've read some bad reviews of it, and I think...
The bad reviews are such nitpicky horseshit, though.
Oh, man, a lot of it is, like, they're putting it so much in the real world, like...
There was a review on Cinema Blend that if I could reach through the computer and slap the guy that wrote it, I would. Like, it's such a, yeah, and it's like you said, it's like a real world kind of. It's just, it's
well,
so bad.
It, if
it's
even
so
if you put
bad.
It in the real world,
yeah, and even the headlines
all kinds,
like,
of destruction, you know.
Yeah,
even the headline for the Cinema Blend thing is like, did Man of Steel doom the DC universe?
No, and another thing I read is, like, a guy said, the Superman I know would have flown off into some spot where there was no human casualties around. He would have gotten Zod out of there. And I was just, like, slapping my head, like, what is this guy
Zod
talking about?
Zod was
going
to kill everyone.
If he, Superman would have left,
so,
me
so he would have
me.
Moved away, like, he... No, I'm not even...
First of all, it's based on a comic, and we want to see two superpowered beings fight it out in a giant city, okay? We don't want to see them fighting it out in Death Valley, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
We could get that in Jumper with Hayden Christensen. But another thing is, I've read someone complain that there's this blatant Sears product placement that just took me out of the movie. And I'm just like, I don't know what to say to you, pal, because I was watching
they were
all the
taking,
action.
It was in a freaking shopping mall.
I can't help it. Some people are like,
people that let stuff like that bother them just really need to not watch movies.
You know what? Okay, I want to take this back to when we saw Fast and the Furious 6. There was a lady to the left of me, Bill, who kept doing this. Either you want to watch the movie and have fun, or be this lady right here. She would do this. And I've seen this before. Oh, I'm so sure. She said that, like, okay, you've seen the movie now, the part where Dom saves Letty in midair. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, and then uses the car as the fall. Yeah, yeah. It's just so stupid that it's awesome.
It's hilarious. The lady goes, oh, yeah, right, like that. And I'm like, okay, lady, we all hear you. You don't believe in the physics of this. I
don't believe in Fast and Furious.
This is so fake. You know, it's just like she watches, you know, old Warner Brothers cartoons. Oh, bullshit. That wouldn't happen. That coyote would be dead. Bullshit. Oh,
how could the Roadrunner actually go through a painting and Wile E. Coyote couldn't?
I've seen Roadrunners. They're not that fast. This is bullshit. My kid can't watch this. It's like, you just shouldn't be allowed to watch anything. That's what I'm saying. But Smallville, awesome. I'm Smallville.
Smallville.
Man, Smallville.
What's wrong with you?
Somebody save me. Sorry, Bill. All I know is this. I swear, I was telling Steven this. I saw a Michael Rosenbaum cameo.
No.
Was he in the movie?
I didn't see a Michael Rosenbaum cameo.
I swear
he said
I
he was
did.
A pilot. He was had a glimpse of him as a pilot.
You know what I thought was funny? The guy that I was going out of the theater, he goes, "Oh, you know that Maloney's totally Lex Luthor." And I just looked at him and went, "Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Oh, no, no. He's survived, and he's going to take Fiora's power suit, and that's he's Lex Luthor."
Dude, that doesn't make any sense because he's in the movie and where we see Lex Corp and we know that character exists in that world.
Oh, he's undercover.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just really it was shockingly stupid. Like, but it's typical.
You know what the guy who sat way too close to me, though? He said this. "Now that's how you make a Superman movie." That's the last thing he said to me.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
That's what I said. I thought it was incredible. That's a super. It's honestly the first Superman movie I've ever watched. And when you think about it, I appreciate the Donner films, but they're freaking stupid. I mean, they are just beyond stupid. They are out of the realm of comic book and in the realm of absurdity.
Well, they're fine for what they are, and especially of the time, but they are.
That's exactly what they are. They are of the time.
It's the same thing as, like, I could compare The Dark Knight with the Joker and Heath Ledger to Tim Burton's Batman. It's not really fair. They're different tones, but I do think one is better than the other, and I can still watch one and I can't watch the other. You know what I mean? I do think Christopher Reeve did a great job as Superman in the first movie, and the Superman 2 is fun, but I don't own any of them.
But Superman 3 is the best.
Yes. with Richard. But you know what? I don't own any of those movies on video, Bill, and yeah. I will own Man of Steel on 3D freaking Blu-ray, bitch.
Yeah, I have Superman Returns on HD DVD. That's it. And I've never watched it.
Why not? That's a classic movie, dude.
Put on your hats, bitches.
Well, Bill, what do you say?
The best thing that came out of Superman Returns was Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor.
Wrong! You know what was the problem with that movie? Seriously? I mean, dead serious.
Other than everything?
Is that Bryan Singer was too close to the source material, meaning the Donner movie. He wasn't into the comic book. He was into that friggin' movie. It was just too much.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's check out What's On TiVo. What do you say, Bill? Steven?
Let's do it!
Woo! Bill, you don't sound excited. Woo-hoo!
Probably because I have to pee.
All right, Bill, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Hell's Kitchen.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
I'm getting out of here, Damien.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, get your farm on up.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs.
Hot dogs kids love to fight.
I drink Dr. Pepper, don't you see? 'Cause it's the perfect taste for me. That original taste, you know. Cooking peppers, good looking peppers. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Us peppers are an interesting breed. An original taste is what we need. Ask any pepper and he'll say,
only Dr. Pepper tastes that way.
There's carrying peppers, marrying peppers, diet peppers, quiet peppers. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? Salutin' peppers, tootin' peppers.
I'm a pepper man.
Would you like to be a pepper too? Be a pepper, drink like a pepper. Aye, aye. Be a pepper, drink like a pepper.
Yes, sir.
Be a pepper, drink.
Tweak, tweak. Twiddle, twiddle.
There's only one candy with a hole in the middle.
Twink, twink. Twiddle, twiddle.
Lifesavers. There's only one candy with a hole in the middle.
Twink, twink.
Lifesavers.
Twiddle, twiddle.
Lifesavers. There's only one candy with a hole in the middle.
Lifesavers!
Saver.
Oh, 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 double stuff Worcester, double stuff Country, double stuff action for Oreo munchers. Feel it up a country, a chocolate cookie dunker, a double middle muncher with O-R-E-O. Double stuff action, double stuff action. Worcester, dunk up, whatever your attraction. Oreo double stuff action, O-R-E-O.
The
play. It's a crispy corn cereal that's coming your way.
Chop, chop, delicious.
They're sticky and flaky
and pinky and fly.
We're marshmallow bits you'll find inside.
Chop, chop, delicious.
Just crispy cash buttons.
We're marshmallow bits that you can chomp too.
New Pac-Man, the cereal.
A delicious part of this nutritious breakfast.
Chop, chop, delicious.
Sun's on the rise, temperature too. Get set to get wet, get set to get cool. Surf's up, baby, let's catch a wave. Meet me at Adventure River today.
Adventure River,
it's an ocean of fun.
Adventure River,
fun for everyone.
Adventure River,
we're making a splash.
Summer's never been so much fun.
Adventure River.
I'm Orville Redenbacher from Valparaiso, Indiana. Can you tell which popcorn is my famous gourmet popping corn? Mine pops so much bigger, it's blowing the top right off the popper. Mine eats better, too. Try my gourmet popping corn. You'll taste the difference, or my name isn't Orville Redenbacher.
Only a new ride that is the tallest of its kind in the world. That soars to the top in a single bound, then blasts back down in a zero-gravity freefall. Only a new experience this breathtaking, this powerful, is worthy of the name Superman, Tower of Power. Only at Six Flags Over Texas, way over Texas.
Superman, Tower of Power is now soaring weekends.
Lex Luthor has Superman trapped. He's using kryptonite to destroy his powers.
Now you'll tell me why Superman peanut butter tastes so great.
Never. So fresh roasted, so creamy, so yummy, that its secret will be mine, all mine. I foiled again! Just wait, Superman, I'll find out.
Superman peanut butter, its strength is its great taste.
Seven puts the hits right where you want them. Live on stage with special guests Billy Vera and the Beaters. The always outrageous Grace Jones. Plus the hot new hit from Toto and the sexy Stacy Q. Then Nina Blackwood interviews Kris Kristofferson and Arsenio Hall racks up the laughs on Solid Gold 87 starring Marilyn McCoo.
About it, think about it, or you can do it at Chicago Health Club.
I've got a taste for pizza at Pizza Hut, and pizza made with cheese, dripping with that wonderful please, I can hardly wait to taste that. Oh,
there's only one place you can get a pan pizza this good. Your hometown Pizza Hut restaurant, home of pan pizza.
Hey, that's Frogger.
Yeah, it's the official tabletop version of the arcade game.
It plays the same. What'd you get?
Mr. Arcade is here.
Galaxian, it's mine. Pac-Man.
You want to take it home?
Yeah. My own Pac-Man. Mr. Arcade, could you?
Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong,
your official tabletop version.
Frogger, Donkey Kong, and Midway's Pac-Man and Galaxian. The arcade games you can take home with you from Coleco.
A fun factory. Let's have a Play-Doh party.
Yeah.
A
Sweets are.
You can make all sorts of great things with a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I made spaghetti.
And now you can get a Play-Doh Fun Flyer free when you buy Fun Factory in specially marked packages. It's lots of fun and little enough to take with you wherever you go while supplies last. The Play-Doh Fun Factory toy comes with everything you see here. From Kenner.
Time to put the tail on the donkey!
Wrong, Mom.
It's time for the Pringles jingle.
Huh? Once you taste the flavor, then you get the fever, then you've got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Once you taste the flopper,
you need help.
Once you taste the flavor, then you get the fever. Then you got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Yeah! Once you taste the flavor,
it's the deep fried taste.
Then you get the fever.
It's the crispy crunch.
Then you got the fever for the flavor of a Pringles.
Wait till you taste Pringles now.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Some assembly required, and you mix the punch flavor.
It's yummy, Snoopy.
It's the Yum Yum Fun that is cool and
yummy.
And its name is the Snoopy Snow Cone Machine.
Snoopy Snow Cone Machine comes with everything you see here from Hasbro.
There's a wonderful world of wobbly weebles. Daddy and mommy, sis and brother too. Helping your kids learn about the world we live in. Doing things families do. Lovable weebles are wobbling around. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. There's just nothing like them anywhere around. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Romper Room makes weeble toys.
Summit, it's the taste of the times when a snack is good, tastes as light as it should. You'll love Summit after only one bite, cause it's chocolate, peanuts, and light.
Rich chocolate topping, crisp light center, and a crunch of roasted peanuts. Summit cookie bars.
After only one bite, you'll love Summit, cause it's chocolate, peanuts, and chocolate, peanuts, and light.
Now with a crispier center, and more peanuts too.
Carnation Instant Breakfast. What a delicious idea for breakfast.
You're gonna love it in an instant.
Nutritious, delicious, frosty, rich and creamy.
Carnation Instant Breakfast. You're gonna love it in an instant.
I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
I want to build a predator game on the Xbox One.
Yes, call a medic, everyone. All right, Bill, we're going to blow through these TV shows because we spent a long time talking about E3 and Man of Steel. What do you say? Not even here. He's not even here. He's not even here. Are you kidding me?
I am here.
10 minutes and
but
oh.
my stupid. I'm sitting here talking, and I guess whenever I got up, my mic went to the off button.
Oh.
So I'm sitting here, I'm like, what's going on? It's not muted. What?
You're like, well, what?
You know what's great? Just listening to the break. That Pringles theme, I had forgotten about.
Oh, I know.
The fever of the flavor of a Pringle. And now it's like, that's so much better than once you pop, you can't stop.
There's this nostalgic feeling you get from hearing those old commercials where you feel like you could almost reach out and grab it, but you can't quite reach the memory.
Yeah.
And it's like this painful kind of time travel.
That's what nostalgia is. It's inherently painful.
There's a part in Somewhere in Time where Christopher Reeve time travels. Because he does it by meditation, right? He is in that time there's a part where I'm totally going to ruin this movie for anyone who hasn't seen Somewhere in Time. Great John Barry score. But he sees a penny with the year 1979 on it, and he's like, dun! And like, he's totally convinced himself he's in this other time. So it goes, and he gets sucked back into his time. And that's what I feel like when you hear some old commercial. I'm sitting on my grandmother's floor in her living room watching Saturday morning cartoons, and I'm almost there. I've almost reached it, but no! And I get sucked back, and I'm here at my computer. Is that kind of weird?
Not at all. Makes total sense.
All right, cool. I hope you're not patronizing me.
No, I'm not patronizing you at all, because I go through it every day.
Cool.
I don't know why. You're the one person
I can talk to about this stuff, Bill, and you understand. Steven just cocks his head and looks at me weird, like, what?
What's going on? What
the hell's that freak talking about?
You mean there was a yesterday?
Hey, we're going to blow through these shows. Okay, Hell's Kitchen. Gordon Ramsay. He has them do this relay where they have to make three different meals with three different proteins.
Do we really expect any other outcome from a relay on Hell's Kitchen?
No. They've done this on Top Chef Masters, and they do a lot better on Top Chef Masters because they're already master chefs, basically.
Yeah, they already know what's going on, and they actually communicate, but...
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work.
On this, you have Zach, like, setting a pan out, and then, like, his time's up. They're like, he didn't do anything! He set a pan! But, let's
fuck
go.
Chewy.
You know what's funny? Okay, we didn't do a show last week, but the end of Hell's Kitchen last week did a preview where Gordon Ramsay throws a pan on fire into the sink. It looked like grease flew in his eye, and he goes, oh, and they're like, oh my God, oh my God.
And then they do the ambulance sound.
And then
they
go, medic, and you go, it's in the UK or something else.
They had to bring a British ambulance.
British ambulance for him. I only go by British ambulance.
Does that ambulance have the steering wheel on the right side?
I'm not getting in unless it does. But, okay, this week's episode, none of that happens. Gordon throws the pan.
Nothing ever happens that's in the end of those.
He throws the pan in the sink and he goes, whoa. And then he walks away. In fact, he does it twice. And he's fine. And then later on, the girl gets out of breath and she goes, medic. And then the guy goes, hey, are you okay? Here's the mask. Okay, I'm fine, and goes back to work. But in the previous scenes, it looks like Gordon is going to the hospital with eye problems, doesn't it?
Yeah. Gordon's got eye problems.
He's going to be wearing an eye patch the rest of his life.
He's a pirate now.
But none of that happens.
Earn me big leg, you donkey.
All right, let's check this out and see how badly they do.
There are just seconds left in today's relay challenge. And the chefs in the anchor position, Mary and John, hustle to get all three of their dishes plated.
Two, one, and stop. Wow.
Me. There's nothing on that plate.
Me.
It sucks because I am the last person in there, and it reflects on me the most because I couldn't get it done.
Lamb is wrong.
She's the last daughter of Krypton.
Oh, dude, this is not good.
All of you, come here.
With the cooking complete, Chef Ramsay will now decide which team's three entrees from the Hell's Kitchen menu are more accurate.
I'm so glad
this
guy tells us this.
Let's start with the lamb. Mary, John, bring down the lamb.
He's our guy. He's much like Jor-El.
OMG.
It's a hologram.
Well, at least the lamb's cooked, but it looks a mess.
This is riddled with cicadas.
Who made the polenta?
I started the polenta, chef.
And the kale?
That's me.
That is just bitter and raw.
Why are you whispering?
I can't believe Mary put up this crap. This is not looking good for the red team.
Blue team? My God. Can't even eat that lamb. Polenta, who made that?
I finished the polenta, chef. Janelle started it.
Polenta's nice. Maybe if I could combine the two, put the cooked lamb on the perfect garnish. But I can't. Point goes to none of you. Chicken, let's go. Thank you. Ladies, chicken, where is it?
It's right here, chef.
That's it? That's what you give me in 30 minutes.
Nothing on the top. Just burnt chicken.
Disgrace.
Yes, it is, Chef.
I am so disappointed in myself, disappointed in my team. There's no way I can even look Chef Ramsay in the face.
Zach, who cooked the chicken?
I did.
I hope it's cooked.
I did,
skin nice
bitch.
And crispy? Is it cooked properly?
Please.
Yes, it is.
Thank God for my quick thinking, because I knew what to
this
do.
This guy's a
I
loud talker.
Yes.
Point goes to blue
yeah,
team.
Yeah, he's not conveying an idea without
After two rounds, the blue team has the edge.
Lee Halibut, let's go.
And now, the red team must earn a point on their third dish, or they will lose the challenge.
Cindy.
Yes, chef.
That is just a mess. It looked like it's been dropped from the ceiling. Halibut, badly seared on one side.
That's my fault.
And it tastes burnt. Really burnt.
The girl's halibut, it's burnt. I'm like, hell yeah. Blue team might actually pull this off.
Hell
Halibut's
yeah.
Beautifully cooked.
I'm lovely burnt halibut.
Mm-hmm. It's obvious. The winning team is the blue team. Congratulations.
I can't even believe it. This is living life like a rock star today.
You better hurry up because your car is waiting. Well done. Well
Thank
done.
You,
Enjoy.
You're going to such a bogus prize or whatever. You get to fly over the city in a helicopter.
Absolute like, meltdown. I didn't expect it from you, Trish.
Back in Hell's Kitchen.
Holy smokes.
The red team wallows in the misery of defeat.
This is hard. Oh my God.
They had to peel potatoes.
Let me get you some water, okay? Cindy's not doing so hot. She's having problems breathing. I hope she's okay.
Cindy.
Wait, if they want to go to the top.
No, sure.
Row of the Medic! Medic!
The red team's back-breaking punishment.
Medic!
Can you breathe?
No, chef.
Is proving to be too
Don't
much
take
for
your
Cindy.
Helmet off.
Medic!
Doing a live fire Medic. Exercise. Wow. So anyway, I didn't get to see the end of the episode, but I predict Zach will go all the way to the
you
end
would
and win
be
this
correct.
Thing.
Zach will win.
He wins the whole thing?
Yes, he does.
He goes home, doesn't he? Big time.
Yeah, he's gone.
No, I think Joe and Janelle are going to be the finalists.
And I think Cindy will win it all.
Who's the big girl who's always running and Gordon goes, you're so fast.
Cindy.
He's like, oh,
yeah,
you're so fast.
Cindy.
The one who's like this. Oh, God.
Mary's the high voice one.
Peeling potatoes is so hard.
Mary confuses me, though. She's got a high-pitched voice, yet a low register. It's very it's conflicting.
You know what? I want to talk about MasterChef. They did a crazy 2 hours of MasterChef.
And that second hour wasn't needed.
It wouldn't end.
It wasn't needed.
I thought they were going to do a whole separate task, but it just kept going. Where the first part, they're going to prepare a big meal. We've seen it a million times. Red versus blue, prepare for a bunch of firemen. Go, you know.
Walmart's the best. Go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All provided with delicious steaks provided by Walmart.
The most stunning, amazing steaks.
The most amazing vegetables from Walmart.
And I'm sitting there going, you know what? Shame on Gordon Ramsay. Shame on Graham Poles. Shame on Joe Bastianich for even pushing Walmart shit on people.
Yeah.
Like, it offends me. There's so many local farmers that bust their ass that could use the business, and they don't even encourage it. Like, they could have went, the most amazing steaks from a local supplier.
No,
use
we've seen,
Eat Wild
when
to
Gordon
find your
goes,
local farmer.
When Gordon does Kitchen Nightmares, he always says, you have local farms right here.
Yeah.
I'll take you to them. And he shows them, you have an apple orchard. And
it just seems like
fishermen.
MasterChef is, I don't know. Obviously, they don't have anything to do with how it's run.
Right. But, that was pretty blatant, shameless Walmart plug there. But I did like, basically, when the red team loses their steak challenge, they immediately all turn on each other. And that one girl, Natasha, who's like incredibly hot and sexy, we think she's just there for her good looks, but she's there to cook, guys, right?
She is?
Yeah. And this one girl goes, that, what was it, like cauliflower?
Cauliflower mash.
Yeah, it was like cauliflower
puree
or something.
Yeah.
And she goes, that was disgusting. She goes, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
Like, what did you say?
And like, then, she just told her that, like, she smelled like poop or something. Like,
yeah, so they fight about that, and then they do the, what is it, Eggs Benedict thing for the pressure cooker. But I think it's funny, we've talked about before how they tease them. They go, unfortunately, you're going home. Or, eventually, you're now leaving. And you're going to walk over there, and you're still here, or whatever.
Yeah.
But Gordon does like...
You're going to leave this kitchen.
Yeah.
And do the... You will take your apron.
Yeah, okay, listen
upstairs.
To this. They do the ultimate one where everyone's like, oh my God. Like, everyone's like, holy shit. And he's like, I cannot... That one guy, the French guy, he's like, I cannot... No, he's Italian, right?
Yes.
I cannot believe it that they're doing this. I am going home, you know. Just check this out.
I'm proud everybody tried their best 100%, but just face it, we made the wrong choices, period.
I'm proud of our food. I think we put out good food.
How can you say that we pull out good food if 70 people out of 100 voted against us?
Yeah, the cauliflower puree was disgusting.
Excuse me? You. Disgusting is harsh. That is disrespectful to talk about food saying that it's disgusting.
Sorry,
it's you know how to call food disgusting, period. You're in a competition, you never call food
I'm
disgusting.
Sorry. It reminds me
That's
of
a terrible
shit.
Word to use.
It didn't taste good.
You know what? There were people that were in charge of it. You don't
plate,
say
honey.
That to someone. I didn't say anything about what happened with your meal. Because I don't do that. But I will now. Please.
It's funny, the girl's like...
It doesn't matter. This is
like
why we're in the kitchen now. With everybody yelling in the kitchen, nothing got done.
Disgusting. Disgusting. That's why you will never be on my team ever. Stop. No, seriously. You are doing nothing to help the problem. You are literally causing it.
Good.
We are still a team.
Oh, my God. Breakdown much? It's my second pressure test. You don't see me falling to pieces. Everyone just calm the down.
This lady's a little much
Sakes.
Too.
Thank you.
We can Chrissy. All go home. Two of us could go home. Whatever is going to happen is unexpected.
Okay. All four of you. This wasn't easy. We give you a immense pressure test. And do you know what? It was too close to call.
I can't go home today. This is not the way I'm supposed to go out.
None of you nailed it.
Rewritten? Or...
Well, we can't decide. All four of you. We'll be leaving the kitchen.
No. Oh, my God.
What?
No. Dude. Sad piano.
It's crazy. They think that our plates are so bad that we deserve all four of us to go home.
I'm devastated right now.
You never said
that. I don't think my time here was... It was time for me to leave.
All four of you will be walking out those doors and in... To an even greater challenge.
Oh, oh man, Fishkins!
OMG.
Where we will decide which one of you will not be coming back to the MasterChef kitchen.
Holy
Follow us now.
Oh man, he fooled them, didn't he?
That one dude sounds like an Italian Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that Gordon's Burger Place, he misspelled the word burger?
You spelled it boogers?
Burger. No, but it's because of G.R. Gordon Ramsay.
Oh.
I thought his...
It's a burgar.
I thought it was funny and kind of stuck up the way he described his burger place. This is for the high-end clientele in the Vegas Strip when they're done gambling or whatever. It's like, oh, you mean like a family can't just come in there, Gordon? What?
Well, and we use the most amazing
winners.
Ground beef from Walmart.
The most amazing. No, I guarantee you nothing in that restaurant is from
yeah,
Walmart.
Yeah, no shit.
It's amazing from Walmart.
It's like Niman Ranch freaking Wagyu beef.
Well, did you think any of those burgers they made looked good?
No.
The buns were gigantic! And
I
the meat
hate, you know what, and I, now it's like I because I can't eat like starchy foods like bread, pizza, like stuff that has a lot of bread to it because it just lumps in my gut. I get turned off by that. Just give me a really nice burger with a very tiny bun
that I can throw away. Meat is tiny and this gigantic effing bun, it's ridiculous. I would take the bun off and just cut the patty with a knife, you know?
Yeah, you have to.
It's silly, but yeah. And then, you know, the girls one, Natasha, she was safe. And so it was the Italian guy and the chick with bad tattoos on her arms. They then had to make butter poached lobster, which I've never had, but it looks really good.
It's delicious.
It looked good.
It's very, very good.
But then, like, what is it? The Italian guy, he gets to stay. But
My lobster is good enough for you.
Joe Bastianich, he got teary-eyed when they let the girl go.
I didn't notice that. He goes, maybe he just, you know, got something in his eyes.
He said to her, he goes, I never believed in you. And it's just like, dude, but then I changed my mind. It's like, you left a long pause before you said that second part. I never believed in you.
Oh, why did you say that?
No, wait, hold. But
you
now I
are
do.
Worthless.
But then I did.
I thought you were the biggest loser I've ever met. But I don't feel that way anymore.
Oh, you! I almost killed myself in those 3 seconds. Here is a gun. But I don't want you to shoot yourself with it.
I once thought I was going to kill you.
but then I decided I would eat you.
But that's MasterChef. I'm still having a lot of fun with the show, but I thought it was funny how they just couldn't get out of that scenario for 2 hours. Like, who's going home already? Come on. I don't like how in the pressure cooker. Why did they let the captain not have to do it? I think everyone who's on the team should have to cook, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes.
Because there was that one week where the guy was like, you are the captain. You could choose someone to save. You could even save yourself. He goes, I choose myself.
Someone stood up on the desk and then, oh, captain, my captain.
That girl, Christy, she goes, where I'm from, that gets your ass kicked or something. It's like, where are you from? Seriously. I'm going to go.
She's from Connecticut.
I'm going to do a census around your neighborhood or ask people. And I go, no, I've never kicked anyone's ass here. This is a nice, quaint little street here. There's that loudmouth bitch Chrissy, though. Oh, that's who. Aha, nobody likes you. All right, let's talk about Defiance, guys. Because Defiance, one episode I think will be really good, and then the next episode I'm like fighting sleep. What happened? I like the idea of an astronaut, like a Buck Rogers type of guy showing up, which I thought it was going to be. But then they turn around on us and he's a programmed assassin. Did you guys see that coming?
No.
No.
I think the best storyline going on right now is the Kenya, the prostitute, sleeping with Jamie Murray, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Daytac, he's like, why can't I have some sex with you? What is going on here?
I'm a classically trained actor. I need to have sex scenes with you.
I liked when she was like, no, we have this other girl. She's perfectly capable. And he takes her hand and starts crushing it. And she's like, ah! And it's like, damn, that guy's a dick, man. So this poor astronaut guy who's actually a celebrity, everyone saw a movie based on him, I guess. And we find out that, what are the Indigen, the weird doctor? Is that what she is?
Is it Voltans Collective?
They apparently used to abduct humans and experiment with them. This kind of reminded me of a certain movie we've seen recently. An astronaut is abducted in space, Bill, and then they copy him. But I won't get into that. But let's.
That sounds familiar.
sounds derivative.
Maybe they're just oblivious to the fact that happened.
Maybe they are.
It's true. We carried out reconnaissance on your people before we made contact.
You did!
When the Votan arcs first arrived in Earth's orbit, there was a rogue program.
That accent's hilarious.
Indigen volunteers would be surgically altered to infiltrate, collect information, and...
That Terminator
if a target of opportunity
there.
Presented itself, to kill.
an alien assassin.
Gordon McClintock, a bona fide hero astronaut, would have access to the highest level of human leadership. President, Prime Minister, Defense Secretary, or a mayor, apparently.
Mayor.
Wouldn't Silverblood be a dead giveaway?
Well, he's obviously a prototype. We never got the damn things to work right.
I'm sorry. I don't believe you. I mean, look at me. I am Gordon McClintock. I remember being a kid.
My name is Gordon Shumway.
I remember crying for a week when my dog Beckett died. I remember
my name is Jack
spilling
Harper.
Soda on a complete stranger in a movie theater, and a year later asking her to marry me.
Do you remember the smell of your wife's perfume or the taste of your favorite food?
Yes.
I didn't think so. Sensory memory is the hardest to imprint.
So you're saying my memories are
Charlie
fake.
And
but they never
Sloppy
happened.
Joe.
But they happened. Just not to you. Well, so where
cafeteria
is the real me?
Pizza.
The real human?
Extracting memories destroys the subject's brain.
You bitch.
My favorite is Walmart steaks.
Delicious. Most amazing.
I'm sorry for your situation, Gordon.
Why did you mind us?
Ramsey.
If the Earth Republic can prove Votans killed human space heroes, they'll use it against us.
You're damn right we will. I'm taking him back with me.
If 5 minutes ago I thought I lost everything, at least I was still a human being. Now I don't even know what I am.
Nice.
No! Don't hurt him! Don't hurt him!
Let it explode in a blinding flash of destruction.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gordon.
Willie! Kill me!
So, this episode, huh?
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
You know, I like the previous week with the one dude who was with Arissa, that big old alien guy. I forget what they're called, the cat people or whatever. You keep wondering why.
Arathi? Is that who
yeah,
they are?
Yeah, Arathi. Yeah, that's it. You wonder how he came back, but it turns out nanites from a piece of metal that fell on his neck.
Goddamn nanites.
They took over his body in order to. I thought that was a cool little twist at the end, you know? And then I think what it is any non-Arissa episode, I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever.
I just find her more fascinating.
Right. Yeah, me too. And they even like had two episodes where Daytac barely did much in the episode.
Yeah.
And I did like, remember the Graham Greene's son killed the guy? I'm glad he told his dad about it. But then that chick...
So he's not holding on to the secret of dumping him into the blue lava?
I see the ghost version of my brother. He tells me to do things.
And my brother's a ghost psycho. Brother. Ghost bro's a psycho.
I thought it was funny the way the old lady totally tricked him with the blood on the pillow. Like, I found this. And he's like, all right, he killed him. You know, she's like, ah, that was my blood. No! And he's like, damn it! Tricked me! But I did see, like, on the in between the show, the commercials, they said the plague is in defiance right now in the game. And at the end of this episode, the plague starts.
I want to play the game. I just want to, you know, I know it's not supposed to be a very good game, but I still want to play
it. Well, Zella said it's, like, he's in the chat room. He said it's a lot of fun. It's got some, it's rough around the edges, but it's fun. And
well,
hell,
that's all that matters.
That's all that matters, right? Come on, man.
Have a little fun.
And I still like Defiance. I just don't think it's anything great or anything. Maybe we should be talking about Game of Thrones instead. Or Mad Men. I've been watching that. Nah, we'll keep watching Defiance.
Yeah, you got to. At this point, it's...
Oh, man.
It's not even that I don't enjoy... I don't hate watch it, but it's just... It's so inconsistent. It just needs a little help.
Yeah,
need to bring someone on to... Bring on the writers of Alphas, and then bring all the Alphas back to Defiance.
Dude, I love the world building. I love the post-apocalyptic wasteland. And I totally forgot to talk about the Mad Max game that was announced at E3, because I was really just, like, totally freaking out over that, because I've been wanting a Mad Max game since I first saw the Road Warrior. And when they showed that trailer, when I finally saw it, of it's Mad Max and the V8 Interceptor, and he's got the sawed-off shotgun, I was totally like, I was very excited. But I love the post-apocalyptic setting of the show. And I don't want them to drag their heels. I want to keep pushing, keep more stuff. You know, I want to see gunfights and stuff like that. I know maybe that's not
the
show.
Like they have too many species and too many characters.
Yeah, they've even ignored some species. Yeah. There's some species in there that they've completely ignored, like the weird dog guys. They're just kind of in the background. I want to see one of those guys talking and stuff.
And the big barf blue ones that are...
What is it in Spaceballs? Barf.
Not in here, Buster.
Yeah, I want to see that character introduced.
No, I'm a Mog, half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
Dude, I saw this commercial. It's so funny. It's funny when two different networks do very similar shows and they don't hide it. Like ABC has this show called Whodunit, where it's a reality show, but it's a murder mystery. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. No.
And do they know that they're in a murder mystery, or are they trying to, like, they think it's real? Know. Because NBC has a show called Siberia, where they think they're on a Survivor-type show, but people start dying, and they think it's real, kind of a thing. And so people are like, get me out of here, and stuff like that. So I was like, I'd rather watch a show where they think it's real, you know? So I'm totally going to check out Siberia on NBC. I'm sure
it looks
awesome.
Interesting. I'll give it a chance.
I haven't seen that one.
And I was watching 72 Hours on TNT the other night, Bill. Have you seen that?
The hell is 72 Hours?
They drop people off in the middle of nowhere for 72 hours.
Oh, I wanted
to
see that!
It's so funny because they're teams of three, and all three people have to finish for you to qualify. But they have one buff dude, some chick who's like way too into survival tactics, and this totally out of shape, doughy guy who has no endurance. Yeah. And it's so funny. Basically, it's like, he's like, I can't go any further. And they're like, come on, get up. And he's like, no, I'm having a heart attack. It's really funny. Just a bunch of whining and stuff.
They really need to screw people, like drop somebody in a wheelchair.
Where's my remote control? I'm going to watch some TV.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. There's such bad TV on during the summer.
Missing Defiance tonight.
All right, Bill, I want to talk about Hannibal because the shit has hit the fan on Hannibal.
It really has. And, I was shocked at how quickly they got rid of poor Ellen Muth.
That scene in the, is it an oxygen chamber?
Yeah.
That was brutal. That's a brutal way to go. Did you see that, Steve?
I didn't even know that was possible.
How did that comb get in there?
Well, Hannibal gave it to her.
She has a comb in an oxygen chamber. It's all oxygen. And she's like, oh. And she goes, and it's a little static charge. And
it's in slow motion.
She's like horrified, and they show it way too long. And I'm like, okay, cut away.
Stop, please. And then they show her crispy corpse, and it's just, ugh.
And, you know, Will, his fever is now gone, and he thinks he's sane again. No one realizes that he has encephalitis. How can it go undetected this long?
What's bothering me about the encephalitis thing is, if Hannibal and the other doctor knew what it was just simply from a brain scan, why don't they know what it is?
Well, Hannibal knew what it was by smell. Remember that?
Yeah, but then they still did the brain scan, and the brain scan was like all inflamed, and they're like, oh, so he has this. If he's at the hospital, why didn't they do a freaking brain scan and tell him what it is?
I don't know.
It was driving me crazy.
Unless Hannibal's doing something.
Unless he's manipulating the records.
There was a scene with Abigail where she pretty much puts everything together.
Abigail?
Is that her name, Abigail?
I thought you said Abigail.
No, Abigail. Why would I say Abigail?
I don't know.
Why would I say that? No, but she asks him, why did you help my father? Why did you call him? Why did you help me? And he just says, because I was curious. I was curious as to what you would do. It's like
so horrifying.
He entertains himself by just being curious about people. He puts them in a horrible situation and sees how they get out of it or something, and that's his entertainment. He's an effed up dude, isn't he?
Yep.
He is.
Well, there's this great scene where Will pretty much figures out that the copycat also killed the girl from Dead Like Me in the oxygen tent thing. Oxygen chamber. And everyone thinks he's crazy. Let's check it out.
So we dismantled the oxygen chamber, see if anyone tampered with the wiring or even like a short circuit, but nothing.
So what sparked the fire?
Inconclusive, but
not conclusively inconclusive.
Found this. Thought it might have been part of the bed or monitoring equipment, but mass spectrometer said it was celluloid plastic. They don't use plastic in those things.
Right, right. It generates static electricity.
Her hair is melted right in there. Preserved like it was an amber.
Could it have been a plastic cone?
Well, static charge from a plastic cone in a highly oxygenated environment would be a powerful accelerant.
Anything combustible in there would combust. You're holding the murder weapon.
Or whatever she used to kill herself.
Yeah? No.
Will.
Oh, oh, oh.
Whoever killed Sutcliffe wanted to kill him. How George imagined killed her victim, but not exactly how, correct?
George imagined carved up her victim's face. Sutcliffe was nearly decapitated at the jaw. I mean,
so she went further the second time. Serial killers often do that.
She was copied. Like, whoever killed Marissa Shore and Cassie Boyle wanted to copy how Garrett Jacob Hobbs killed his victims.
I love the music on this show. This guy needs to do video games.
But not exactly how.
Survival horror.
Are you saying that Dr. Sutcliffe was killed by Garrett Jacob Hobbs' copycat?
Don't you love that he's right also?
Yeah.
Because he thinks she saw his face.
You said Nicholas Boyle was the copycat. His blood was on one of the victims. Nicholas Boyle is dead.
Well, then he isn't the copycat.
Could this be more than just a fever? Will is connecting murders that previously had no connections.
Beyond his involvement in the investigations?
That's right.
So you're wondering if the lines are blurring or if he's onto something?
I'm wondering all sorts of things.
There's a part where after the girl gets burned to death, he has a nightmare where she's in his lawn.
Yeah.
And she gets impelled by horns and then catches on fire.
With
then
fire.
It turns into that stag.
The raven stag.
Dude, thing. That guy has the most wicked nightmares, doesn't he?
I wouldn't go to sleep.
Me neither. And the scene where he's with Abigail. He's with Abigail at that cabin. And he pushes her into the antlers, but then he snaps out of it and he's standing next to her. Like, that the way the show does those sudden like bursts of violence.
Yeah, and then he's on a plane.
And they're like, "Sir, you need to leave." And he's like, "Huh? What just happened?" He totally lost time again. And basically, Hannibal's setting him up to take the fall for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait.
What a good friend Hannibal is.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy. I can't wait to see how this all ends. Oh, and there's this great part where when Will's in the hospital, Hannibal brings him some chicken soup.
Mm.
And were you thinking the same thing I was? Don't eat the chicken.
Yeah, it was the black bone chicken soup.
Yeah, it's like, I wouldn't eat that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's black bone chicken.
It's people! Poor Will. How many humans has he eaten and not known? I can't wait to see the finale of the show, and I'm so glad it's coming back.
Yeah, where are they going? Like, what?
Is it going to end with Hannibal getting arrested, or will he get away?
It can't.
I can't wait to see what happens. But Bill, what do you say we do some news?
Let's do some news.
All right, let's do the news. The news. All right, the news!
Hi, Ashtaven.
Huh?
All right, Bill, what do we have
in
the
news? Was that Hebrew?
I don't know. It's Kryptonian.
Oh.
All right, Bill, let's do some news.
Do it!
Okay, Grandpa Simpson. I just had to bring this up. I thought it was funny. I guess last week, I guess you'd call it a tabloid, the Sun, a UK paper, did a story about flying saucers that were seen over the British Scientology headquarters. And they received a letter from the lawyers of the Church of Scientology requesting a retraction. And so they've published an apology. They say, "We apologize to any life forms for linking them to Scientology."
Wow.
So, I saw a UFO!
That's such a... And Scientology wonders why people make fun of it. Like, that. That's something you blow yeah. off. You don't get litigious Ruby. Whenever somebody says that there were flying saucers over your headquarters.
Yeah, we're offended by the accusation because people think that we believe in that stuff.
And you do.
No way.
Way.
Way. Here's a little creepy kidnapping action.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, officer. I kidnapped her on accident. It sounds like a joke, but that's exactly what a California man told Fremont police recently after kidnapping a 16-year-old girl.
You've gone mental.
The victim had parked her car in a grocery store lot, left the doors unlocked. The offender, Aaron Kumar Roy, snuck into the car while the girl was inside the store. Soon after the girl returned to her car and drove off, the man popped up from behind the seat with a knife and told the girl where to drive. Roy Damn. Then ordered the girl to stop the car and take off her clothes. That's classy. Sounds like a horror film.
I'm getting out of here, Damien.
Yeah. Thankfully, the victim was able to escape and called 911. Roy tried to flee the scene, but the police tracked him down using fingerprints, arrested, charged with kidnapping, intent of rape, secondary robbery, cocaine possession, and when questioned, he said he got into the wrong car on accident.
You.
And that when he realized he was in the wrong car, he freaked out. He had no intentions of kidnapping the girl.
Apparently.
Yeah,
but he
whatever.
Didn't have intentions of raping her.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he was during the arrest. He found a packet of condoms, so he was going to safely rape her. Apparently,
this is not good.
I mean, just what an asshole! And I love that in his delusional mind, he thinks that saying it was he accidentally got into the wrong car was going to fix it.
Excuse me.
Like okay, well. Now that you say that, all right, fine.
You can go, sir.
You can go. I'm so sorry that we even bothered you with this.
Oh, my God.
Hamden, Connecticut. Some 2,500 residents recently received a letter in the mail urging them to contact United Illuminating Company about their new Energize Hamden initiative. But the phone number in the mailing actually maybe... possibly energized residents in an entirely unintended way. I think you can probably guess what they did. Typo, the phone number directed callers to a phone sex service, not to the Home Energy Solutions Program.
So it's not a sex thing?
No, but, you know, while you're on the line, you know, try to get something, maybe. Who knows?
He's fornicated. Had intercourse.
Well,
sex.
Okay, we got it.
Excellent.
Stinks like sex in here.
That's gross.
It's true.
That's just a gross line. All right. In Huntington, West Virginia, the Marshall University Board of Governors has been dismissed as a defendant in a lawsuit involving a student attempting to shoot bottle rockets out of his anus at a fraternity party.
Holy shit.
The fact that people actually do this, come on. Lewis Helmberg III sued the Alpha Tau Omega fraternity of Huntington, West Virginia. Travis Hughes, the man who attempted to shoot the bottle rockets, Marshall University Board of Governors, Marshall University Interfraternal Council, after he was injured when he attended the fraternity party. How was he injured? Did one of the anus rockets hit him?
Wow.
The West Virginia Code requiring Helmberg to provide the president of the University of West Virginia Attorney General's Office with notice of his claim and relief sought in writing by certified mail. He failed to do so, so now it's been dismissed. So I guess he's just going to have to deal with the injury that the anus rocket gave him. There it goes. Majestic.
Oh. Leave some sort of stain on him.
An emotional and physical stain. Along with a little skid mark.
Wow.
Define irony.
Here's a... this is really creepy. A New York City school English teacher assigned her students to write a suicide note.
Dude.
Yeah, what the hell? Students of the Upper West Side private facility, some as young as age 14. Were required to write a goodbye letter as an offshoot lesson plan from the best-selling book and movie, The Secret Life of Bees.
I think that's creepy.
Oh, and spoiler alert, I guess the main character in the book kills herself.
Wow.
So that sounds like an excellent book to use in the classroom.
That's creepy.
The teacher told the students to include in their letters the rationale for their suicides, leaving at least a few of the kids rattled and parents angered. No shit!
Did you ever try to commit suicide or anything like that?
I would be pulling my kid out of that school. Like, you want my child to...
piss me off tonight.
I mean, go to that dark place? That's really screwed up.
I want you all to find your dark passenger.
Yeah.
You've gone mental.
You were going to kill yourself. Why?
Let's talk about suicide.
No.
That's a terrible word to use.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm struggling finding decent stories. It's been tough, obviously, doing stories about suicides.
For f***ing sakes.
What about the guy who ran around the place naked?
Oh my god, yeah. I think was that Ross that posted that?
Yeah.
I'm wondering all sorts of things.
Naked man in San Francisco subway alternates between fighting and doing gymnastics. They see some crazy things in New York subways, but this there's a video from San Francisco's Bay Area Rapid Transit System where the guy's running around. I think the reactions are what's classic. The guy's obviously insane, but like he corners this one girl and she's screaming like bloody freaking murder, and there's people all around. Like, I don't think he's. I don't know. Maybe it's just the reaction that she. There's this man with a member in her face, like right there, that she's freaking out. But I just thought the reaction was so. I mean, I know that she's scary or scared, but it just the reaction is insane.
Yeah, like I don't want to see that kind of thing. You know.
No one wants to see. No one wants to be headed on to work. You know, just or home, and then be confronted by a big yes, a floppy penis.
Inconclusive, but not conclusively inconclusive.
I haven't seen a penis in 2 years. I can't. It's weird.
So last month, a naked man walked into the underground 16th Street BART station in San Francisco's Mission District and started causing trouble. He's eventually taken into police custody. And the story garnered a few scattered news reports, but a shocking new video posted to YouTube on Monday reveals how the incident was less of a case of typical San Francisco weirdness and actually a violent and decidedly scary experience.
Naked.
The video, which appears to have been taken by a BART employee, shows the naked man assaulting passengers, doing acrobatics on top of the ticketing machinery, and collapsing on the floor in convulsions. In the video, the man attacks both a young woman and an elderly man. Some passersby stopped and stared. Others jumped in to help, but the vast majority seemed to do their best to ignore the unfolding situation completely. Well, yeah, I mean, the guy's naked. He might, like, rub up against you or something.
There's kind of like a feeling. Yeah. Like, just like,
maybe if I was, like, in a hazmat suit and had...
I'm getting out of here, Damien.
Yeah, I just... I would feel bad that I would need to help, but I just would want more protection.
Oh my God! Breakdown much?
On the Facebook page of the local blog Mission Mission, an eyewitness provided more details on the incident, which apparently started above ground, where the naked man began shedding his clothes, running around screaming, and jumping on top of cars. The witness who wrote that he was busking at the station at the time relayed that it took a team of police officers to eventually wrestle the man to the ground and wheel him out on a stretcher.
Sexual assault with a concrete dildo.
Yeesh. Ouch.
Yeah.
After his arrest, the man was unsurprisingly taken for a mental evaluation. Why would he need a mental evaluation? He seemed totally sane.
You've gone mental.
Yeah. Dude's gone mental, Damien.
All right, and...
Sing it like you mean it!
Wait, what was that, Grandpa Simpson?
Sing it like you mean it!
Oh, okay.
Sing it like you mean it.
That was a real horn honker!
Buzz Aldrin has come out against Tang.
What?
I know! Tang, the orange drink and powdered form made famous by thirsty astronauts, just got slammed by the second man to walk on the moon.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't like Tang and admitted it during a taping of Spike TV's Guy's Choice Awards last weekend.
That can't be true. It's an astronaut and Tang. They're synonymous.
I know. He said Tang sucks.
Slimy immigrant jerk-off!
What? Yeah, but contrary to popular belief, Tang wasn't actually invented by NASA. Oh. The tangy orange drink was introduced to the space agency when NASA officials were searching for a way to transport drinks into space.
Wow.
The truth is that General Foods was making its travel drink mix, and NASA thought, oh, this is how we should be flying our beverages.
Wow, so Buzz just didn't like the taste of it?
I guess he didn't explain anything other than more than it sucks.
Use Buzz.
He should. I want to know why. Is it the citric acid? Is it the he's just not a fan of orange?
Yeah, please explain, dude. What the hell?
This is important news. You know, if it's worthy of being printed, we need more information.
I mean, did he have an alternative idea for what he wanted to drink in space, or?
Yeah, would he rather had grape Tang?
Maybe
I'll take a light beer, domestic frosted mug.
They need to figure out how to transport carbonated beverages.
Do it.
Absolutely. All right, and finally, Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville. A Louisville man Kentucky. Is accused of selling more than sweet treats out of his candy store.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Louisville police say customers could get more than candy at the Get It Candy store on 41st and Market. Lorenzo Bird.
Popcorn, candy, soda.
Yeah, all of those things, including marijuana.
Marijuana?
Marijuana. Lorenzo Bird is facing numerous drug charges, including trafficking in marijuana and trafficking a controlled substance.
God damn it!
Police arrested him on Tuesday outside the Get It candy store, where they allegedly found 50 baggies of marijuana and 14 bags containing Lortab pain pills.
Marijuana!
They received an anonymous tip several weeks ago through that investigation, were able to secure a search warrant on that building. Now, who is going to... You know, giving an anonymous tip, busting a candy store for selling drugs. That's just not
marijuana,
nice.
Like this.
The man who identified himself only as D told me he worked there for nearly a year and he's never seen Bird sell drugs.
That's because he's smoking it all, man.
Yeah, you know, why would he sell, you know, whenever he has 50 baggies of marijuana, you know, already weighed out and pain pills.
Marijuana is not a drug.
That's just his own personal stash.
Yeah, it's just his own medicinal purposes, man.
He keeps it for, you know, special occasions.
Medic! 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 Medic!
Last story. A woman who says she was severely injured when she walked into a glass panel at Culver's restaurant in Coralville is suing the restaurant for physical and emotional trauma.
What a bitch.
Yeah, Mary McCarthy of Chicago filed a lawsuit Tuesday that the restaurant failed to properly mark the glass panel. So now because she's an idiot, she's going to try to get money. She must have been walking really fast or just had
the actual meaning is the complete opposite from the literal meaning.
Immense amount of inertia because she dislocated her jaw, broke her nose, tore a rotator cuff, and sprained soft tissue injuries to her neck and back in addition to emotional trauma. That was maybe she like
an idiot now. That's her emotional trauma.
Yes, she's an idiot. But I mean, she must have been running at like 40 miles an hour to do all that damage.
Holy shit!
That's some serious damage.
Do you remember in Sid and Nancy? Doesn't someone go, "Hey, Sid," and he turns and he goes, psh, and like walks
yes,
through the glass.
Yep,
that's like hilarious, man.
This must have been some serious glass. It must have been much thicker than Sid's glass.
Yeah. They don't make glass like they used to, do they?
And that's news for this week.
Bill, aren't you going to do my story?
Which story? Where did you send it to me?
To you on Skype. Steven, you're not supposed to look yet.
Stop looking at it, Steven.
Stop doing that. Okay, I'm sending it to you on the Facebook right now.
There we go.
Why doesn't anything make...
I was just laughing so hard at this.
People can look it up after you tell them what it is.
Oh, God, I love that you had this story up. All right.
It's all visual, but...
I love the opening line. Jesus is always with us. He's on our toast. He's in our fish sticks. He hangs out on our tortillas, our stingrays, and our receipts. So is it surprising then to find his holy visage on not one, but two dog butts? Reddit user Feature Creature posted a rather old photo of a pug's butt that appears to show Jesus' face as well as his hands, legs, and long flowing robe. like the writers in Jezebel, which posted the photo today, this is the longest we've ever stared at a dog butt. And
it really
not
is.
Even the only one. Yeah. User Internet History also posted a photo of a holy dog butt, which is the true miracle, if you ask him.
Jesus Christ! Now, okay, the dog's butt does look like Jesus, you have to admit.
Yes.
What do you think the first thing I did after I saw that story was? Baby, come here. Turn around.
Does her butt look like Jesus?
Let me look at your ass, dog. I don't see Jesus, but I definitely see a man in there.
There's a man in her ass?
A man wearing a robe.
Jesus Christ. No,
it's actually a Jedi. Qui-Gon Jinn is on my dog's ass.
That's how he's communicating with Yoda at the end of...
he's on the dog's ass. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, I saw this earlier in the day today, and I could not stop laughing. And then I was going to post it to Facebook, and I thought, you know what? I have, you know, religious friends that might find it offensive, so I won't do it.
Oh, that's why you do it. That's why you post it.
I know. I just didn't want to deal with it.
I love the picture. It's of the dog's butt, and it looks like Jesus, and the thing says, OMG, it's Jesus.
Oh my God, it's Jesus.
On a dog's ass.
It does. It looks like,
it looks like Jesus.
The flowing robe and the butt swirls for the hands.
The butt swirls, too. Work that in there.
Yeah, that's just, it's fantastic. That is so good. That's probably the best story I've seen in a very long time.
That's the kind of story where everyone likes it. Nobody will get offended to that.
Even cynical members of Generation X.
Yeah.
Yeah. Groovy.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sending that to me again.
No problem.
And I think that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. You know what that means it's time for, right?
DVDs.
DVDs! Woohoo! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition!
DVDs! Woo! The DVDs, everybody!
What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
What?
Fat I don't know.
Kids,
what kind
kids?
Do?
Even kids on rocks.
Sing it like you mean it!
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs and Blu-rays for... what is it? 6 June 18th?
DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that part of that. All right. So we have the DVDs and Blu-rays for game, June 18th, 2013, starting with from the writers of The Hangover, which is, huge, 21 and over. Which I guess is just about
groovy.
Partying.
Yeah, man. Woohoo! Getting drunk, mother sucker. Wee! I got nothing. I don't know what I'm doing.
No idea. All right, moving on. We have season 2 of everyone's favorite BBC show, Call the Midwife.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, I've never watched it.
Call the Midwife.
Yeah, yes, call the Midwife.
You only call her when the lady's in labor, right?
Yes, correct.
So I guess every episode has to do with a pregnant woman?
Which sounds very entertaining.
Do it!
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's very good,
I'm sure that's a demographic everyone would like, right?
It's kind
Even
of appropriate that it's on PBS.
Yeah. Groovy.
And Shout Factory's at it again with a Scream Factory release of The Howling on Blu-ray.
Ooh, hello, baby!
What? They always go out of their way to make some really awesome Blu-rays, and they went to Joe Dante and got a great transfer of it, and audio commentary with Joe Dante. Dee Wallace, Christopher Stone, Robert Picardo.
The best part of that movie is, I think I've had an intro a long time ago, is where the hero of the movie is trying to get somewhere on time, and he needs gas, and the guy's giving him a hard time at the pump, and he goes, "Hey, it must be nice to drive a Mazda. I can't afford a Mazda." And he's just like, "Dude, will you hurry up?" It's just like a ridiculous scene, but the guy won't move his car.
The entire movie's ridiculous.
O-M-G.
I like that there's a sticker on it that says the classic tale of werewolf carnage.
Oh, yeah. Woo, and it's got a pretty crazy ending, too. And then they started making horrible sequels.
Yeah, because it warranted sequels, apparently.
Yeah, what the hell? Even that one with Sybil Danning.
Oh, God, I'll never forget that one. Sybil Danning was so conflicting for me that she had such a hot body, yet she still looked like an old woman.
She was a hot lady. Hot dame.
Like, there was times that it was just... Yeah, she was also in one of those Deathstalker movies where she just...
She was in horrible movies.
Yeah. So bad. Yeah, the Death Stalkers are very, very.
She was like that older woman who is going to discipline you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Creepy, that's kind of like weird stuff going on as a kid. Confused teenager, like, I don't understand what's happening to my body.
Great rack. I mean, she just had a great rack. That's she knew how to use it. Yeah, I was obsessed with her. That was because I remember my dad rented. Well, he didn't rent it. He borrowed a VHS player from his friend, and whenever we got that, he gave us the Death Stalker movies. And,
you guys gotta watch this.
Yeah, and Beastmaster. So the first boobs I saw were Lana Clarkson, Sybil Danning, and who's the girl in Beastmaster?
Tanya Roberts.
Tanya Roberts. So, yeah, and I think I was, like, 6 years old.
Oh, wow, this is awesome.
What? Oh, my God.
I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, what is this feeling?
Babies.
Yeah. Moving on, we have the continuing mess that is Bryan Singer's career and Jack the Giant Slayer.
The continuing mess.
Well, it just seems like every movie he has made, you start from his first movie and go down, and they just kind of decrease in quality.
Hey, in his defense, I'll probably watch that movie. I mean,
I'll watch it too.
Yes, I wouldn't see it in theaters, and no, I won't buy the Blu-ray, but I'll watch it eventually.
Yeah, when it's on HBO or Stars or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, when it's free and I don't have to pay for it.
At this point, the best thing that
it's got
Bryan Singer's involved in is the fact that he has a production called Bad Hat Harry, and that's the best part.
Yeah, but also. He's doing the next X-Men, and you wonder why.
It's a bad hat, Harry.
I'm scared shitless of it.
Come on. He's going to do a good job. It's like this, Bill. I kind of was arguing about this the last show. Just because a director, has an unsuccessful movie, like the Jack the Giant Killer movie might be good. It just didn't make any money, right? Just because you have a string of some failures.
You're right.
Doesn't mean you're not a good director.
I'm just saying that, like,
he did X-Men and X-Men 2, and they're good movies. I still love X-Men 2 or X-2.
X-Men 2, X-2, United, whatever the hell.
Superman Returns had moments, but it was a disaster. He was too in love with the material, and it was long, it had pacing issues, and the overall arc of the villain was ridiculous, right?
Well, I have to clarify. I'm not scared for X-Men Days of Future Past because of Bryan Singer. I'm more scared because I would have rather had Matthew Vaughn again.
Well,
like,
yes.
There's going to be a tonal shift, I feel.
I would have liked Matthew Vaughn also. But I'm excited for that next X-Men movie. Now, if that movie turns out to be bad, then I'll go, all right, Bill, you're right.
Yeah, but we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't be hypocrites.
I can't even believe it.
We can't do that to Bryan Singer, because he has had good films.
I honestly think it'll be good.
I hope it is. I mean, you've got the same cast.
Thanks.
So, yeah, it should be good. And finally, or not finally.
You're a dick.
We now have The Last Exorcism Part 2 on Blu-ray. So we've come full circle from seeing the poster.
I thought the last movie was The Exorcism, the last one.
No, this is the second Last Exorcism.
Oh, they did a last one again.
There's going to be, and I'm sure there's going to be a need for another Exorcism.
So it's not the last one, and this
one... Well, it's the last one for the person that it involves, I assume.
Oh, it's like her last one, but they're going to have other last ones involving other
people.
Yes,
there's always going to be a last exorcism.
It's
her son or daughter will have one, most likely.
But you know that other chick? It's going to be her first one, but if I do a good job, it's also going to be her last
one. It's also going to be her last one, yeah.
But if I do a bad job, it's not going to be her last one. There's going to be another one.
Well, if you do a bad job, it might literally be her last exorcism because she's dead.
Oh, or you know what would be funny? It is her last one. It's her last exorcism, but then she gets into some other trouble, you know, like an alien actually inhabits her body. An exorcism won't technically work because
it's
an alien.
No, not with aliens.
But you could try to do another exorcism thinking that it's a demon, but it's not. It's an alien. So
then she would have to go to Scientology and have that thetan taken out.
That was a real hard honker.
Exactly. So I'm more confused than when we began.
Yeah, but it is the last exorcism. Let's just
That's a terrible word to use.
So it's the last exorcism again. Again with the last exorcism. When's the first time you had one? Oh, you know, the
couple weeks ago.
One.
The last one.
You know, the last time we did this, you said this was going to be over. I know. Come on.
I honestly believed it was going to be the last one.
Now it's the next to last one.
So, is this the last one or not? Okay, technically, when it's over, we're going to wait a week. Then we will say if it's the last one or not. So, we might redo it.
But right now, let's just call it the last one.
I'm getting out of here, Damien.
Fine, then go.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is excellent. This is excellent. Speaking of childhood boobies, my other set of childhood boobies that
okay,
I remember.
That doesn't sound right. Childhood boobies does not sound right. You're not conveying the message properly.
Don't be mad at me because my boobie's bigger than yours.
You mean when you're a child and you see a full-grown woman's breasts.
Yes. Exposure to child.
Okay, so what would that be, Bill?
Life Force, Matilda May.
Oh, yes. That chick is walking around naked through that whole movie.
Yeah. Full on Furberg Ridge and everything.
I have not heard that term in a long time.
I don't even know why that popped into my head. Yeah, so she's like a space vampire?
Yes.
She just walks around naked?
Yeah. Yes, basically.
That's the lure.
And the guy's just standing there looking at her, then she sucks her life force.
Well, who the hell would look at her?
Vagenda?
Yeah.
Yes. She does have a vagenda.
Sing it like you mean it!
I love the cover of it. This is, again, one of those Scream Factory from Shout Factory releases. And they've got the audio commentary with Mr. Hooper, you know, because they hang with Mr. Hooper.
Hey.
I do like that it says the Leonard Maltin review, so bizarre, it's fascinating. Oh, come on, Leonard. We know you liked it because of the boobs.
You know what? It's got some incredible visuals in it also. And I'm not just talking about the nudie. It's a crazy effing movie.
It is. And I had forgotten that it's a Golden Globus film.
And you know what she plays? She's like a...
an alien assassin.
No, not really an alien assassin. She's an alien vampire. It's like this ship that's been in space comes back to Earth, and the people in it are infected with this stuff. And it's got some insane shit in that movie. It's really effed up.
The fact that there's a longer director-approved cut has me intrigued.
And it's starring Steve Railsback.
That's a pretty great name.
Everyone just calm the down!
I love on the back of it, it says, introducing Matilda May. Yeah, they pretty much introduce her.
Yep, she's like, here I am, everybody! And I'm naked! Dude, can you imagine that? Your first movie is a movie where you're just naked.
It's naked, that's it.
The whole time.
Well, you know, she only wants to be naked for the right reasons in film. And I guess they gave her a right reason.
Fried chicken for lunch, you want some? I think I'm going to hold off. I'm going to eat this.
I need to
salad.
Keep my figure.
You're going to be naked. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, this movie, anytime I saw the trailer for it or a commercial for it, I just got, like, physically ill. And it's movie 43.
Yes, it looked awful.
Like, they were just trying that it just was upsetting. Yeah. And this is released on Blu-ray in the Outrageous Edition because it wasn't outrageous enough.
It looks god awful. Like, punch somebody, it's so goddamn bad.
Yeah.
It looked like you just want.
They're trying so hard to be funny that it's.
Yeah,
just
trying.
It's unfunny. They're trying so hard.
It was
awful. And I love that the cover is just all the stars.
Like, yeah, just, look at all these stars. This movie gotta be funny.
It just says Movie 43 yeah. Superstars Unleashed.
Wow.
Yep.
It's not good. It's not good, people.
Not fun, not funny.
Your bravado is embarrassing.
All right, moving on. We have a film directed by Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
Quartet. It's a film he did last year with a bunch of British stars. Maggie Smith. Well, Billy Connolly's Scottish, so...
Say it again.
It's just... It's Michael Gambon, but it's where they all... it's for a home for retired musicians, and it's...
Uh-oh,
it looked
fart.
Good. I saw his interview on Charlie Rose, and I'm going to have to check it out.
Uh-oh, fart.
I think that's the only Hoffman drop we have.
That's the only Hoffman drop you need.
Yeah, that's it. We don't need it anymore.
Did you can fart?
Fart.
Next, I think finally we have Wilford, the complete second season. I haven't even watched the first season, but I've heard people say good things about it.
It's a crazy show. It's, Heather loved the first season.
Second season.
She got tired of it because the dog is always making him do horrible things and manipulating him. And I think you just get sick of it after a while.
So the dog is, will it make him kill people?
No, just behave
just
terribly
dumb,
and
choices.
Yeah, it's funny. It's, at least the first season.
It's true.
I'll check out the first season.
Watch
at least.
It at your own risk, Bill.
Okay. Oh, sounds ominous. All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Yes, but no, seriously. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week, Bill.
Oh, you know what? I have to bring this up. Just because
okay.
I was skimming it over, but I wasn't going to mention it. But I guess Paramount is re-releasing pretty much every Stephen King miniseries there has been on DVD.
So that would be
like
The Stand?
Like Langoliers, The it? Stand...
Tommyknockers.
So, yeah, they're
the Storm
all
of the
getting
Century.
Storm of the Century.
I just remember watching the Langoliers and thinking, wow, this first part is really cool. What's going on? And then the second part, it's like these crazy bad CGI flying teeth things.
And
I was just like, what
really
the hell?
Haven't perfected CGI yet. So when that part happens, it kind of blows the whole thing out, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it no longer became interesting and horrifying. It became stupid.
It totally dates itself, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
Yeah. Groovy.
But that's it. That's all of them.
Well, I think we'll all watch Under the Dome and cover it on this show.
Oh, we totally. We yep. have to. It's the summer event.
I need to read it.
The feel good event of the summer.
Feel good. It's one of my. It's one of those books that I was reading it, and I kept telling Jason, it's like, you know how that feeling of community that like Salem's Lot created?
Oh yeah. I love
that's
that.
That's what I got from Under the Dome. Just like this the people dealing with craziness in a town. You know, and that's really, I mean, it's not a vampire or anything like that, but it's still that community kind of vibe to it. And it's a good book.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what Brian K. Vaughan does with it.
Yeah, the guy's, he's got talent. He's good.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're so welcome.
Inconclusive, but not conclusively inconclusive.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
What the hell's going on?
Was a real horn honker.
All right, everyone. That was episode 276 of Entertainment Landfill. Thank you for joining us this week. We had fun talking about E3 and Man of Steel. Everyone should go see Man of Steel. You know what? In fact, if you went to see Superman Returns, go see Man of Steel. You owe it to yourself. You owe yourself a more entertaining Superman flick. Am I right, Bill? Uh-oh, I lost Bill.
He had the power jump again. Ah, yes. He must have had the power jump. Let me try to call him. We'll get him back in a second here. What happened, Bill?
Bill.
Sing it like you mean it.
You're not supposed to do this when the show's ending. Well, guys, thank you for listening this evening. If you'd like to...
The person whom you're trying to reach
come on, don't
is currently
mess me up.
Unavailable.
Here's what I would like for you to do. Go to etlandfill.com. That's our website. You can find... just click on the right. It's our list of links. You could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us a voicemail at 1206-339-1239. And you could also join us on Facebook, where we have our Entertainment Landfill fan club, which will be pretty awesome. Also, if you'd like to, you could follow us on Twitter. And definitely, you guys got to check this out, our Entertainment Landfill archive of everything from episode 1 of Nowhere Mulberry on now to present day. So if you could do that, it would be totally awesome. Really cool. I mean, I really love those old episodes, Stephen.
Your bravado was embarrassing.
And everybody go get a sleep study done and give us their story.
Right. I mean, would you say our show is, like, appealing to all ages?
Even cynical members of Generation X.
Yes. Yeah, even cynical members of Generation X.
Yeah. Groovy.
I'm getting a message here from Bill. It says, how's that for timing? Another power flash. You know, it's not as good as a quarter
flash. The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, Bill, doing the show. Wondering what happened to you. Call me back. Bye. So do I hit pound sign after that, or is that it?
Star 237.
Let's try to call Bill back. Huh? It's my old rotary phone, Steven. Can you answer that?
Got it.
Hello? Is anybody there? Huh?
Hello?
Oh, Edna.
Good times.
The person whom you're trying
to... Oh, shut up! hold on a second, guys. Should I just end the show, or do we need Bill back? We can't end the show without talking to him.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Hey, Bill. It's Jason again. Just wondering where you're at. We were doing the show. Everything was going pretty good, but you hung up. And I don't understand what happened.
Just wanted to say goodbye.
I mean, I thought we had a good thing going here, but... I just, I don't understand. Hello? What? Yeah, I guess he doesn't want to talk to us, guys. It's very sad. What are we going to do, Steven?
Guess, it's time for bed.
You really pissed me off tonight.
Yeah, Steven, you really pissed me off tonight.
Not again.
No way. Way.
Yeah, way? Come on. All right, guys. Hopefully Bill is okay. I'm sure he is. In fact, I think that he probably just hung up and didn't want to do any more show. He can't fool
me.
Shut up!
Excuse me?
Sorry. All right, everyone, that's our show. Steven, thank you for joining us this week. Heather, why don't you say bye? And we'll see you guys next time. We'll talk all about new movies and video games and TV shows that we watch. It'll be awesome.
Define irony.
I'm not sure that's ironic. But anyway, guys, see you next time. Laters. Woo-hoo!
Fine, then go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
I am.
Go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
I am.
Yeah. Groovy.
Now this is podcasting.
Define irony.
It's when the actual meaning is the complete opposite from the literal meaning.
I'm sorry, I don't believe you.
Inconclusive, but not conclusively inconclusive.
I can't even believe it.
Everyone just calm the f*** down.
No way.
Way.
I'm like, hell yeah.
Apparently.
For f*** sakes.
Your bravado was embarrassing.
OMG.